much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
These two young men have attracted a tremendous following among the youth of America with their lyrical interpretation of the world we live in. We think you will find the next hour both entertaining and stimulating.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What is do next? What do you do, baby?
And now.
What did you do? What did you do?
Our feature presentation.
How dare you?
Pretty strong.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show, and it is...
Whoops.
Sound effect day, Tuesday?
No, it's not sound effect day. Hang on. I got something I got to play.
Sorry.
You keep going.
I was almost done. It's a Tuesday morning, all-new Kevin and Bean show.
I can tell it's going to be a good day.
And Bean is getting something ready to wow us.
There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Well, don't start off this way.
Guys, I don't want to start the show.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to start the show in a downer. I really don't. But didn't America used to be great?
I'm going to go with yes.
Yes, it did. Because we're the country that that built the railroads. We're the country that built the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge. We're the country that went to the moon. I mean, We used to do stuff.
Went to the moon if you believe the hype.
Well, that's true. If you believe that sound studio in Hollywood, right?
Right.
We're the country that used to get stuff done. We're the country that had conviction, that had commitment, that had stick-to-itiveness, that didn't let obstacles get in our way. And now...
Wait, we still don't have all that?
We don't have any of that anymore.
Oh.
Because it was announced yesterday from Fort Wayne, Indiana, that the new government building will be known as Citizens Square. And not the Harry Balls Center.
Oh, they were going to call it Harry Balls. That was the leading vote getter.
Harry Balls, the mayor a couple of months ago, and we talked about this a great deal at the time, they were going to name a new government building. They're doing some reorganization. They're moving most of the city employees into this downtown office building, and they opened it up to the public. They said, hey, what should we call this new building? And Harry Balls, who's a former multiple-time mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana, 3 or 4 times he had been mayor, very, very popular, very successful, big name in town. He was overwhelmingly the favorite from the public. Name it after Harry Balls. Now, sure, the name's a little unfortunate, but you don't hold that against it. You don't hold that against him. You don't say, hey, your accomplishments don't matter in our city just because of your last name, right?
Just because your balls are hairy. But here's my favorite thing, though, is I'm sure that the people who voted for that were not the people who remember him.
That's possible.
Because
you would have voted
for him. I would have voted for him, and I didn't know him.
Right.
Right. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing about what's happened to this country. Is it used to be you cared what the people thought. You went to the people. It was called voting back then. Remember? You went to the people. You said, hey, what do you want to do? And the people voted, and you looked at it, and you said, this is America. People vote, and then the majority rules, so we're going to go with what they want.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, I don't know, somebody might make fun. Somebody might drive to Fort Wayne and take a picture of Harry Ball Center and mock us, so we're going to call it Citizens Freaking Square. Come on.
Wait a minute now. So they're the ones that put it up for vote. They didn't have to.
Right.
Okay,
absolutely.
So they could have just named it Citizens Square or whatever.
Absolutely.
But
sure, they could have.
They said, we're going to go with a vote.
We're going to the people. Right, exactly.
That's voter fraud.
You tell me what's better, Citizen Square or the Harry Balls Government Center?
Oh, I don't even have to tell you.
Come on. Anyway, you can see why I'm a little bit disappointed here today, because this is not the nation that I love and the nation that I grew up in.
Hey, Fort Wayne, Indiana, I have one word for you, Egypt. All right? That's what I'm saying. Keep your eye on
it. It's a good point.
It's a good point. Once you start throwing out all the votes, the people riot. That's what happens.
And you keep going the direction you're going in Fort Wayne. I got another word for you, Japan. Okay, just look out. you don't want any of what they got.
But all right, never mind.
I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying, are you talking about Japan 1940 whatever or
no,
Japan today?
No, 2011. All I'm talking about. That's what happens when you start screwing up, making bad decisions. I'm just saying. All don't do it. So anyway, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. We were all looking forward to a Kevin Bean live show from the Harry Balls Government Center in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but apparently that's not happening.
It was winning by like 10-1 over the second place vote getter, right?
Yep, wasn't even close. Look, Lisa, you'll agree with this. Everybody loves Harry Balls.
Everybody does, of course.
That's bizarre.
What women want.
Exactly. That's what everybody wants.
Remember that they came out in the news and, you know, they kept saying, this is funny, but we like it and we're standing by it. They kept saying, we understand it's a leading vote getter. He was a very important mayor. And they defended it the whole way. And then they went, tossing it out.
Can't do that.
So,
that's too
bad. Way to start things off, man.
Sorry, dude. I felt like you needed to know.
Can we be broadcasting from the Harry Balls studio? Can we call it that?
I guess we could.
I'd like to honor him.
It doesn't seem to make much sense. You know, we're not in Fort Wayne where he's a known entity.
But was he a good mayor?
Apparently so, not for us.
He deserves a studio. He deserves something, Bean. And if the people of Fort Wayne, Indiana can't see that, then maybe we just need to pick up the slack. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
No?
All right.
Live. We need a big voice guy.
Live from the Harry Balls studio.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
This is a world of nope, nuh-uh, and sorry, Charlie.
Let's talk about Simon Pegg. Funny actor. He's in a movie called Paul. And it looks like it's another attempt at something that seems to have been very difficult, which is to intertwine live action with animation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new movie called Paul, so we're going to talk to him about that. Very excited about that. Brittany Snow is the new Maxim cover girl. And I got to be honest. I mean, I'll be honest with you right now. We don't have anything to say to her. But except for she's on the cover of Maxim, so we should have spend some time with her.
Which she already knows, by the way.
Right.
So that even that's out as something to talk to her about.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
You're on the cover of Maxim.
Nice
yes,
job.
I am, Kevin and Bean.
Tell us about the photo shoot.
This is so sad.
Look, it's not sad for us. Sorry. It should be. We should be embarrassed.
You really should.
But we're not. We got over that a long time ago. You found your biological parent and it turned out different than you thought.
Ooh.
Yeah. Could be bad. Could be good.
It could be good.
Could be great. I'm guessing it wasn't. But the story in the news yesterday that we were talking about at this time was Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
Some chick found her dad and it was Ted freaking Nugent.
Yeah.
Who I don't really know anything about it except for he was popular in the early 70s and now walks around with a bow and arrow and a rifle and shoots stuff.
He just kills everything in his path.
He's just crazy.
It doesn't matter where he is or what he does. He kills everything he sees.
Awesome. That'd be so great. Find out your dad was that guy. We have Bean had a very, very busy weekend. I don't know what you people were doing this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday, but Bean was pretty much holding down the fort. I mean, he was firing off letters at a rapid rate.
First of all,
take care of business.
I object to being referred to as you people, first of all. And second of all, it was my Christmas Eve, if I were Santa Claus, because it was a time change. And when the time change comes around, people don't get the daylight saving time. And you know, I have to set them straight.
You mean they forget daylight savings?
Saving. No, they call it savings. That's what happens. And that's why there were strongly worded letters coming out of my house about 3 a minute.
I don't know if you people caught that, but it's not
you daylight. People again with that.
Everyone but you. It's not daylight savings time, which is what we all say. And Bean takes great offense at that. It's daylight saving.
Correctly, yes.
So that's
only if you want to be only if you want to be right, not wrong. Only if you want to be good and not bad.
Travis Barker will be on the program today.
Yes.
How about that?
Talking about his new CD, Give the Drummer Some. Bean, you told me yesterday I would really like it, and you are absolutely correct.
It's unbelievable, right? It's like the
really
best
good.
Mixtape you ever heard.
Yeah, it's really good. It's all different kinds of rap and hip-hop, and Tim Armstrong's on it. I mean, there's a bunch of strange... It's a strange collection, but I really like it.
That's great. So great.
We're going to talk to the CNN Special Project spokesperson. They have kind of a clearinghouse page where you can go, and you can see all of the different ways that you can help in Japan.
Oh, that's great.
So that's kind of cool, because you hear occasionally, oh, yeah, text for... the Red Cross
Red
or whatever,
Cross,
but it's hard to know where you want your money to go. This is a place that has all of the different charities that are working in Japan, and you can support whichever one speaks to you the most.
Great.
And I love the Red Cross. I think it's great that we're donating money, but, you know, you go to their page and you see, you know, Save the Children, for instance, and the American Humane Society and the Salvation Army and the World Vision, and they all do different things. And as Kevin said, it gives you a chance to better direct your funds.
Funny man D.L. Hughley on the program today.
Yeah.
Very excited about
Call
that.
Call him, you people. See how that goes.
You people refers to human beings, Bean.
I understand.
It's everyone except for you.
Yeah, if you're racist.
And the dude that is getting 1,000 Julia Roberts tattoos. Why?
Why? Now?
Why would you do that?
He likes Julia Roberts?
Really a lot.
Maybe that's it.
More than he should. And Ralph's going to bring us a little treat just after 6 with the Friday song. I'm sure you may have heard it, but if you haven't heard it.
It's the biggest thing in America right now.
It really is sweeping the country, and rightfully so. It is top-notch entertainment.
It's quality.
Very good.
I can't believe Kesha didn't write it.
I agree. So we'll get to that as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. That is 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes till 6.
Hey, party people. Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Ralph Garman joining us in studio right now, as he does every hour at this time for the Showbiz Beat. How are you, Ralph?
I am not well.
Oh.
You're not sick again?
Yes.
You're getting sick again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I'm
what's the deal around here?
I'm beyond getting sick.
Listen to you. Yeah.
Ralph.
I am not well.
We have been passing this around for months.
I have been sick this season more than any I can remember.
Yep.
Keep getting cold after cold after cold after thing after thing.
Yeah, but you don't do anything, Bean. You should get sick.
Ralph is out and around.
But historically,
I think
it's
the opposite way around. Bean lives in a hermetically sealed building, basically. His only contact with the world is virtual. So really, if anyone should be immune from contacting any sort of germs, it should be him, right?
Yeah.
I've had more days of being sick this year than probably in the last 15 years combined.
All right.
It's been ridiculous. And you're right, Ralph. It does seem to be being passed around. So you don't have the dreaded eye thing that the King of Mexico is out with.
No, I've avoided that so far. But
Guai?
I don't have Guai.
His Guai, yeah. I do love that this multi-million dollar radio station, that when Dave is out sick, there's no Kevin and Bean podcast. I do love that.
That's a good system.
It makes me feel good about our infrastructure.
Sure.
We have a safety net.
Right.
We sure do. Sorry about that,
guys.
It's
called show up to work or you don't get it.
That's right.
That's it.
Well, please hang in there, Ralph.
I'm doing the best I can. Before I get to showbiz news, I have some passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Sucker Punch. This movie from Zack Snyder, the man who gave you 300 and Watchmen, and soon going to give you Superman. It's a bunch of hot chicks.
It is.
Fighting people with swords and whatnot.
I'm in.
What more do you need? Happens on Wednesday, March the 23rd at Grauman's Chinese Theater, the legendary Grauman's Chinese Theater. It's in theaters everywhere March the 25th, but if you're one of the first three callers right now, 1-800-520-1067, you will get passes to the red carpet world premiere. You don't have to wait until Friday, March 25th, because you'll be seeing it with all the stars, which is way cool.
You can be obnoxious and tweet about it.
Yeah,
already saw it.
Oh, look at all the stars in front of me. Oh, there's Jenna Maloney. Oh, hi. Hi, Jenna Maloney.
Look at me.
I'm just tweeting my friends about you. You know who might be there? Gilbert Gottfried, because he's got a lot of free time on his hands now. Maybe he'll go to the premiere.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, Gilbert Gottfried, for those of you who don't know, is a stand-up comedian. You may have seen him on the Comedy Central Roasts. He does a lot of work there. He used to be very successful, touring comedian. Not so much anymore, but he keeps his hand in primarily. I guess his main source of income would be the voice of the Affleck duck.
Sure.
Affleck! You know, that bit.
Sure.
What kind of a deal he had on that, Ralph. Is that a voice that he recorded like 10 years ago? He went into a studio, said, Affleck! And he's been getting paid ever since.
Because every commercial has a different scenario, so I'm sure he's got to record new lines for each situation, because sometimes the dog is like, Affleck! When it steps on a grill or something, or he's playing, Affleck! You know. He's got to do a bunch of stuff.
It's certainly right in his wheelhouse. It doesn't hurt his voice like it does, like everyone else in the world.
A voice like a goose anyway.
Yeah.
So it all worked out. Until yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you've been following his tweets or not lately, but Gilbert went into a significant Japan chunk on his Twitter account.
Yeah.
About how he just lost his girlfriend, but he's not upset because, like they say in Japan, another one will float by any minute, and you know, things like that.
He's not exactly sensitive to
it. No, his tact may not be his strong suit.
At all. But that's always been true. It's just this is a pretty bad situation to be in the middle of.
Now, let's say you're the CEO of Affleck and you do, I don't know, 75% of your business in Japan.
Oh, really?
Oh. Would you think it'd be a good idea to keep Gilbert as a spokesperson?
I'm going to guess no.
That's what they decided.
Okay.
So they are currently holding auditions for a new voice of the goose, the duck, the swan, whatever it is.
The goose.
It's a goose.
The goose.
Yeah.
I remember Gilbert was the first comedian to start making 9/11 jokes, too. Remember, within a couple of weeks after that, he was at that one of those roasts in New York. And, you know, it was obviously hanging heavy in the air that they were in this city that had just gone through this terrible tragedy. And he was the first one to start laughing about it. And at the time, people said it really helped. It really kind of started to get people back to normal. But
not everyone said that.
Not everyone said that, absolutely. But it may be too soon in Japan's case where it's been less than a week.
I don't think he has a too soon filter.
Maybe not.
That's the problem.
I would wait at least until the threat of the nuclear meltdown had gone away.
Right.
Maybe I'd hold off till then.
Those jokes weren't good enough that they couldn't just wait a week or
Absolutely.
Two.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, like I said.
And that's us being the voice of reason. In what world?
Affleck is currently holding auditions. And the only thing I have to say about that is, Affleck! Affleck! Affleck!
Why not?
Affleck!
You pitching yourself?
Affleck! Affleck.
All right.
Affleck.
Could I hear damn you, Affleck?
Damn you, Affleck Goose. This is sad. You know, Bean was saying the fact that the Harry Balls Government Center is not going to happen is a sign of the decline of America.
We no longer have a democracy.
I'd like to back it up with this. One of the best-selling books currently on Amazon.com is a book called What Every Man Thinks About Apart from Sex. The book is 200 blank pages on the inside.
Okay.
One of the best-selling books on Amazon.com. That's what America is buying, book-wise.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yes. Yes.
But do people know that that's the punchline?
Yes.
And they're still buying it?
Yes.
For what? For how much? Do you know?
It does not say here what the
matter?
Price is.
It's
it doesn't free. Matter. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
Wow. I could do that.
I'm surprised you haven't.
You should have.
You know why I wouldn't have? Because I would have thought no one would buy that POS.
It's still better than the Snooki book, though, right?
Well, sure. Anything. Not literally nothing. Empty pages is better than a Snooki book.
It is, wow. It's out of print, it says, already.
See, that's
sold
funny.
Out.
Because there's out no print in it.
How about that?
Stars are just like us, Kevin. I don't know if you knew this or not.
I have seen the magazine, yeah.
Star Magazine has a list of stars just being people. You know, it helps us feel better. We feel connected to our celebrities. Sure. We see them doing regular things. Ryan Gosling was at the Cincinnati Zoo this week. Make you feel better? They're just like us. They go to zoos. Although, you know what? I don't go to the zoo. So, actually, they're not just like us.
Better. I don't particularly like that feature.
Carmen Electra was caught doing yoga poolside in Los Angeles.
Fantastic.
I don't do yoga either, so she's not just like me.
She's not just like us either because she doesn't look like us when she does yoga.
That's true. She looks so very hot.
Yes.
Vanessa Hudgens was caught buying allergy-free bedding at Bed Bath & Beyond in Los Angeles. Guess she's got bed bugs or something. You know, she should have been buying a Bed Bath & Beyond, a razor. I don't know if you've seen the newly leaked nude photos of her on the internet.
I have not.
One particular photo where she is enjoying some one-on-one time with herself in front of the camera.
Right.
She needs a razor. She needs to contact Gillette and look for some sort of spokesmanship deal. Where they can keep her in blades.
Should she start with a weed eater and then work her way down to a razor?
No, okay. She just needs a razor. All right. That's all I'm saying. It's not that bad, for God's sakes.
Just asking. I don't know.
Tyra Banks wants everyone to know she's attending Harvard.
I'm sorry, who?
Tyra Banks. I'm sorry, Tyra.
Yes, there you go.
Since yesterday she told us we couldn't use her last name anywhere. Now she's just Tyra. Now she wants everyone to know that she's at Harvard.
That's a joke.
Nope. She's attending Harvard Business School. She says she loves watching people's reaction when she shows up to class at Harvard. I bet she does. There are little facial expressions. The chin goes back like, really? It's like, why is a model going to Harvard? But actually, it's a good thing. Because when people have low expectations, you're constantly going, ta-da! And they're like, wow. Really, Harvard? Really, Harvard?
Yeah. I have low expectations of Tyra also, and she still constantly disappoints me.
Yes.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Has there ever been a case of sound down before more than this?
Nope.
She was a Victoria's Secret model, everything. And then she opened her mouth and everybody went, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And she keeps beating us with it.
Oh, my God.
She keeps opening her mouth and just punishing us.
I don't need a Tyra story every day. Every day she doesn't need to be telling us what she's doing, that's for sure.
It's crazy.
She's all like, ta-da, and they're all like, wow.
None of that's happening.
Good luck at Harvard, Tyra.
She might do ta-da, but then they're going, Tyra, what an idiot.
Take a look today, celebrity birthday, shall we? Our own Psycho Mike.
Yeah! Love Light, Loverboy, yeah! Mike Catherwood.
Love Light, Loverboy.
Psycho Mike Catherwood, who I think debuts next Monday on Dancing with the
Stars. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
I believe that's right, yeah.
Because I know that because last night I was furious watching Brad propose to Emily instead of Chantal, which we all know he should have done.
What is that?
Unacceptable.
What show is that?
Duh. The Bachelor winning.
The Bachelor finale was last night.
Bachelor winning. Duh.
By the way, I don't know if we have time, but I'd like to get Petros on the show today because he was apoplectic over that Bachelor last night. He was fuming about how upset he was with the choice that the Bachelor made, and I think we might have to try to talk him down from the ledge today.
Brad made a bad, bad choice. We all knew it. We all could tell he was just pursuing Emily because she was keeping him at arm's length. She was playing hard to get. And meanwhile, Chantal was the woman who really loved him.
Wait,
dropped the ball.
Am I the only one not watching this show? What's happening?
I didn't watch either, but I heard about
Lisa's
it from my wife,
not
though.
Watching it.
Duh, winning, duh.
Was Emily the brunette?
No, Emily was the Southern Belle, the blonde.
F you.
Chantal was the brunette.
With the kid, though, right?
He went with the one with the kid. Yeah, got a five-year-old.
Oh, B, you watch it.
I swear, I didn't see one second of it.
How many questions do you have?
Because I heard about it from my wife, because she was all upset about it.
And then we have to see Ashley H. be the new Bachelorette, when everyone knows it should have been Michelle.
Okay, what's going on here?
Jimmy Kimmel announced the new Bachelorette on his show last night.
I watched the beginning of Jimmy Kimmel's show, but turned it off deliberately before it got to that point.
So anyway, that's how I know Psycho Mike debuts next Monday.
Oh, you.
They keep advertising it. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is 56 years old today. I saw a photo in the paper. I thought it was Chelsea Handler. But no, it's Dee Snider. Fabio's 50. Oh, Fabio. Speaking of the Gus. Got hit in the face with a goose on a roller coaster.
That was one of the best things that's ever happened.
Brett Michaels of Poison is 48. Mark McGrath. Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, they're going to have like a birthday off over there on the Dancing with the Stars set today.
Who wins that? McGrath?
He's 43 years old today.
I think he's on Celebrity Apprentice, though, isn't he?
Oh, that's right. Never mind. Different show. Mark Hoppus of Blink-182 is 39. Eva Longoria is 36. Will I Am of Black Eyed Peas is also 36. DJ Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, party people. Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, about 50 minutes away from telling you the story about a man who likes a particular actress so much that he got 82 tattoos of her on his body. That sounds like a restraining order waiting to happen, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, that should be an automatic restraining order, even if he's never tried to contact her.
That is coming up here in the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Sicky joins us to talk about something that apparently, Ralph, you are as obsessed with as the rest of the nation, and that is Miss Rebecca Black.
Yeah, it happened quick over the weekend. I guess it was Friday when this video was initially posted. It has quickly become known as one of the worst songs in the history of music.
By the way, that's quite a category.
That is saying something.
Yeah.
And they may be overstating it a little bit, but there's certainly an argument to be made.
Now, what is the song?
It's called Friday.
Friday.
And it's by a young lady named Rebecca Black. And the video was posted, I believe, last Friday. And over the weekend, it just sort of blew up. Everyone started watching. It's got over 2 million views on YouTube already.
Wow.
And people are obsessed with her and the awfulness of this song, particularly the lyrics.
Okay, so none of them like it. I mean, this is all hatred.
It's all hatred.
You have to hear this. It's unbelievable.
I disagree, by the way. And when you hear what Ralph is about to play for you, you will also hate it. But I'm telling you that I think it continues to get hits because people are starting to like it. People are requesting that
You're wrong.
They wish they could buy it on iTunes now.
But that's all ironic requests.
That's what I think.
Those are people who love to hate and are getting a kick out of how bad it is. And the fascinating story for me is really the story behind the story. So after we talk about the song, I'll tell you why it's even more insidious than just the fact that it's bad.
All right.
So here's the I broke it up into smaller chunks so we can sort of digest it appropriately.
Otherwise, it's just too much to handle all at once.
Otherwise, it's just like eating a pound of fudge. Yeah. Just all that kind of goodness just puts you in a sugar coma. This is Rebecca Black. This is the opening of her song. And it's, you know, it's about Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, upstairs. Gotta have my bowl, gotta have cereal. Seeing everything, the time is going, ticking on and on. Everybody's rushing. Gotta get down to the bus stop. Gotta catch my bus. I see my friends kicking in the front seat, sitting in the back seat. Gotta make my mind up. Which seat can I take?
So this young lady. Well, she's obviously she's got a little R. Kelly in her.
Sure.
Everything she does that morning, apparently she thinks is a lyric.
Okay.
She gets up. She got to have her bowl. Got to have her cereal. Got to go down and do that.
Right.
Then she's got to go to the bus stop because,
right,
you know, she's got to catch her bus.
Right.
But then she sees her friends in a car.
Right.
And some of her friends are kicking in the front seat. Some of her friends are sitting in the back seat.
What do you do?
And then she's got the all-time existential question of, got to make up my mind, which seat can I take? We don't know. We don't know what seat she's going to take. First of all, let me tell you, front seat's already taken, bitch. Those are not even an option for you.
But I heard the back seats were taken as well.
They are.
Okay.
So I guess she's going to tell someone to move, and she's going to take their seat.
But if you're in the front seat, you can see better.
Because
if you're
she's Rebecca
seat.
Black.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, they've got that auto-tune cranked up to like 11, don't they?
Yeah,
they
you can barely eke out the semblance of a human voice.
There's no human voice in this whole thing.
It's as if someone, a robot, one of those toys from Japan, with those little dogs or something, was singing a song.
Wow.
Well, here's the very catchy chorus.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the
This is a Kesha song.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did she say fun
is a lyric.
Yeah.
Why does she sound like she's all stuffed up?
She does need some. She does need a tissue.
She can't sing. That's why.
What's up with that?
Because she's a terrible singer. But Ralph,
she is touching on some issues that we really have never covered before in popular
which
music.
Which is everybody's looking forward to. The
I'm
weekend.
Glad everyone's looking forward to the weekend.
Sure,
everyone's looking forward to the weekend.
There's that,
and everyone's getting down on Friday, which is great.
Right.
You should get down as often as possible. That's science.
I try to get down every day.
You should,
but Fridays are for sure.
But on Friday, especially, party in, fun.
Look,
wow.
This is a terrible song.
No, it's great.
It's a terrible song, but how much worse is it than songs you have heard on the real radio actually hits? Not much worse.
In terms of lyrics and performance?
Oh, it's terrible, but there are Miley Cyrus songs that are almost this bad.
She sings better than this broad.
I agree.
Easily.
I agree.
One of the comments underneath this YouTube video is, if my crap turned into a song, this is what it would sound like.
There you go. Now, fast forward, she's in her car with her friends.
Front or back?
She's in the back.
Okay.
She made her choice.
Wow.
But,
all right.
But I don't know if she's going to stay there because apparently she's got to choose again.
Oh,
now
no.
That she's partying at night with her friends.
All right.
Yeah. You know, she's got a friend by her right-hand side, by the way. She lets you know in the lyrics in case you were curious.
All right.
And, you know, she's got this.
She's got what?
And you got this. We're not sure.
Okay.
Here's the line.
Fun, fun, think about fun. You know.
Big key change, the dramatic key change.
But wait, wasn't she sitting in the backseat when she was singing this?
I think she's changing seats. I'm pretty sure she's changing seats.
Oh,
I love that she tells us, she's got this, you got this, you know what it is. No, we don't know what you're talking about at all. Not even close.
We don't have it and you don't have it.
Fun, fun, think about fun, she gives you as a recommendation.
There's that.
Here's the chorus.
It's Friday.
Now, I'm not kidding about this next part. She breaks down Friday and where it sits amongst the other days of the week.
What are you talking about? She tells you when Friday is?
Yes, but she gives you the context of Thursday on one side of it and then Saturday and Sunday on the other, in case you didn't know your days of the week.
Does she think we're not aware of where Friday is?
Apparently not.
Thursday was Thursday, Thursday, today, yeah, it's Friday, Friday, we so excited, we so excited, we gonna have a ball today, tomorrow is Saturday, and Sunday comes after
Nope, that doesn't happen.
Tomorrow is Saturday, and Sunday comes afterwards.
Seth, I know you're going to tell us the story in a second, but is this, like you were talking about, you could write a country hit. You were saying the songs are so bad, you could write a country hit easily. Is this girl doing that?
She did not write this song.
Okay. So she's not parodying bad songs or anything?
No.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there's an evil conspiracy behind all this, and I hope we'll have time to get to it.
All right.
But I want to play for you at least the obligatory rap break that every one of these songs has to have.
Oh, good.
So out of nowhere, in his own car, while she's sitting with in the front seat or the back seat, whichever one she chooses, comes along Rappy McRapper Stink.
R.B. Rebecca Black. So chilling in the front seat, in the back seat. I'm driving, cruising, fast lanes, switching lanes with a car by my side. Passing by is a school bus in front of me. Makes tick-tock, one is straight. My time is Friday, it's a weekend. We gonna have fun, come on, come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on, y'all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another one of the comments under the YouTube video is, where's Chris Brown when you need him?
Oh. Very nice. And then she closes out with Friday.
Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking for a way to the weekend. We gotta get down on Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to.
And I want to hear the ugliness behind it.
What we've discovered is people have been researching where this song could have come from. Where possibly could responsibility lie for this travesty?
Yeah, who could we blame?
It turns out there is a company here in Los Angeles called the Arc Music Factory.
Okay.
Now, Arc Music Factory, in essence, is a scam. What they do is they put ads in papers and saying, does your kid have talent but you don't have any material?
Oh.
Come to Arc. And ARC says you have to be specifically between the ages of 13 and 17.
Okay.
I'm guessing so you can't sue.
Sure.
Because you're a child. And they will write you a song. They will record that song for you. They will auto-tune the crap out of your voice. And they will do a professionally produced video for you.
So they wrote this?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
One of the guys, the rapper guy in the car,
yeah,
is half of this team with Arc Music.
Wow.
And if you go online, if you do a little research, there's a great story about this all on a website called City Sound Inertia. If you go there, you will see not only her video, but videos for other artists that they have.
Are they doing Friday?
No. Other songs. Equally bad.
Wednesday?
But the videos are remarkably well produced. I mean, they put money into this. You can only imagine what these parents are paying to have their kids given the American Idol star treatment.
Ralph, do you agree with me that Rebecca Black is not the worst in their stable of singers on that video page?
Not even a little bit.
Wow. Yeah.
And you got to see the special coming out party they throw, where they have like a red carpet and all the Arc Music Factory stars show up and they do a live performance and there's a big party and they try to make these kids think that they're really in show business. It's evil.
And they're being interviewed on a red carpet and everything.
It's evil incarnate.
Wow.
What are they doing to these kids and the money that they're taking from these parents who are gullible enough to believe that their kids have some sort of,
because they're not Will Smith and they don't have unlimited funds and able to push their kid out there?
So I think it's bohemian.com/citysound. If you go there, they've got the entire story. But it really is kind of sad how parents and this girl is being destroyed publicly. I mean, she should be. But you know what? It's really not her fault. She didn't write the song.
Yeah.
Her parents paid for it. I mean, someone should have stepped in and said, you know what, honey? Keep singing in the choir at school or whatever, and then maybe someday you can develop a career. But they're holding her up for public ridicule. I can only imagine what's going on.
Another one of the comments is, white people, stop it.
Well,
hey, white people, stop it!
It's excellent advice.
Yeah.
But I think even sadder than that is at some point, maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow, you're going to find rattling around in your head, it's Friday.
F you, Bean.
And you're not going to be able to get out of it.
And you're going to blame who, Ralph?
No, it's just
Arc Music Factory.
Music Factory.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, good.
Funny man D.L. Hughley on the Kevin and Bean Show later on today. Also, actor Simon Pegg is going to be joining us, actress Brittany Snow. And if we can get a hold of Petros, if he's still alive, if he's not swinging from a rope somewhere, we'll talk to him about how crushed he is over the choice that was made on last night's Bachelor.
I'm crushed that everyone I know watches The Bachelor.
Well, it is a popular show, but I'm in your corner on this one. Believe me, I haven't seen a single second of it. All right, here's a guy we have to talk about. A man in Mexico. Look, everybody has their favorite actors and actresses and celebrities, musicians, people that they admire. And some go so far as to get the tattoo. Our old friend Psycho Mike, for instance, sure. You know, got Ozzy tattooed on his body because he's a huge Ozzy fan. I get that. I get getting a tattoo of a celebrity that you're going to enjoy the rest of your life. I get that. I don't get 82 tattoos of a celebrity that you think you're going to enjoy for the rest of your life.
Well, you really like them, though. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Over $51,000 to put 82 tattoos on his body of actress Julia Roberts, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Julia Roberts, 82 tattoos. We asked producer Alex if she could line him up for us, and I believe we have the young man from Mexico on the phone with us right now. Hello.
Oh, fantastic. Hello?
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's this?
Kevin and Bean, is this Rudy?
Of course it's Rudy. Hey, what's up? Why you call me so early, Don?
Oh, Rudy, this is scandalous.
Oh, so scandalous, fool. I'm sitting here burping. Had a long night last night, you know, drinking Bacardi with Tigre and Sniper and Machete.
Wait a minute.
Now I'm just hanging out.
Did we call the wrong number? Because we have a story about a man who has 82 tattoos of Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Doug. I mean, like, I got them all over my body. I thought you guys knew that.
82?
Yeah, man, like, oh, I love Julia Roberts, man. Like,
right, you can love her, but when you get to 70, don't you go, that's probably enough.
Nah, man, because, like, you know, I just want to, like, represent, use my body as, like, a piece of art to represent what's important to me, you know what I'm saying? I got, like, my mom on my body.
Yeah.
I got, like, the Virgin Mary. I got, like,
I don't see your mom, like, or the Virgin Mary. I'm looking at a photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mostly have Julia Roberts because just, like, she's, like, the bomb fool, you know what I'm saying? It's like, once you got one, you're addicted because Julia Roberts is just so sweet.
Okay, you can go to KevinAmin.com right now if you want to see the picture, Rudy, I guess, of you with your shirt off and just Julia Roberts tattoos all over your chest, your shoulders, up and down your arms. I mean, what was the movie that made you fall in love with Julia?
Probably, Mystic Pizza.
I see.
That's a good one.
I don't see you watching that. I don't know why.
That's a strange choice,
man,
for you.
My friend Thousand Island used to, like, back in the pan, used to, like, take these pizzas. He would make, like, homemade pizza, dog.
Right.
And, like, he would dip them in PCP. And then, like, we'd go to, like, magical places.
All right.
Eat it, dog. And then, like, we start thinking about how dope Julia Roberts was. So then first I got, like, just Julia Roberts, like, a portrait.
Sure.
And then I got, like, Malibu Julia. And then I got, like, Kung Fu Grip Julia right here. Let me pull up my sleeve here. On my arm I got, like, Julia with kiss makeup on.
With kiss makeup on.
Yeah, I got, like, emo Julia right here on my leg.
Okay.
Then, like, on my calf, I have a picture of Raul Julia. No. I don't know. I'm looking at the
drawing. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Rudy, let me ask you a question. Did you get these tattoos in prison? Because they do look of that quality.
Yeah, that's true, dog. Like, some of them are the best. You know, some of them are nice, but, like, a lot of them I got in a pen. You know, like, they're using, like, a paper clip
and some,
like, Sharpie art. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. But that's the best way to do it. I'm looking
at... Hey, check this out, dude. I'm looking at my belly right here. I got one that's Julia Roberts on the toilet. I call that one Puglia.
Oh, man.
And then Hey, dog, on my hip right here, look, I got the... Almost said he said Julia Roberts in, like, sexy time. I call that one Ghoulia.
Ghoulia, yeah.
I have Halloween Julia right here underneath my huevos. I call that one Boolia.
Sure. Okay. All right. I didn't know you had a different theme for each one.
That's true. I got Kung Fu Grip Julia right here. I got, Western Julia on a horse.
Okay.
And then I got, like I started smoking angel dust and got all conceptual. I got, like, Julia on, like, a unicorn. She got naked. And her hair is... hair down to her ankles. That one's kind of crazy. I got Julia Caesar, where she's like Caesar in a toga with, like, the crazy with the leaves on her dome, like Julia Caesar. That was crazy. I got Phil Collins. This one don't make no sense. On my foot, I got Phil Collins with a little bubble, like, you know, singing. It says, Julia.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Come on, no.
Actually,
you don't have that.
Overdid it. That's ridiculous. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. One of our all-time favorites, Mr. Travis Barker, joins us in about 20 minutes talking about his new album, which is available in stores and for download today, called Give the Drummer Some. So stick around for Travis, please. Got an email yesterday, I want to say maybe over the weekend. Hi, guys, and Lisa May. I'm a huge fan. I work for the Search Dog Foundation in Southern California. We recruit dogs from rescue shelters and breed rescues, many on the brink of euthanasia, and train them for search and rescue. We then give them to firefighters at no cost to the departments. We have six teams on the ground in Japan. If you could give us a plug, I'd appreciate it. The website is searchdogfoundation.org. And I started thinking, you know, we've been talking a lot about the Red Cross since the disaster in Japan broke, but there are so many other ways and so many other focuses of various charities that have to do with Japan right now, and there's so much need in that country. We thought maybe it might be great if we could find a place that would be a great roundup for all of the available options. So I heard them talking about their page on CNN over the weekend, and I asked producer Alex to line somebody up, and we've got a spokesperson from CNN Special Projects. Kim Bowie joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Kim. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, and to all the listeners.
How are you?
You guys have been doing a great job. I've never had CNN on in my house more than I have this last few days. But, man, this is a story that's just tough for us, the viewer, to even get to wrap our heads around how bad things are in Japan right now.
Yeah, it's a tough story. We're glad you're tuning in to CNN, though, to hear the story and get the updates.
Well, we haven't, you know, we try to talk about stuff that's going on that's urgent, but we haven't really delved into this because we have the emotional maturity of like a sixth grader. So we don't really know how to bring it up or what to say about it. It just looks so unbelievably disastrous. What words can you use? But then we decided, hey, maybe we should get like a clearinghouse of charities so people can go find out. And you have a page just like that.
Absolutely. So CNN has provided a resource for all of our viewers to go to, and it's called CNN Impact Your World. So if you go to cnn.com/impact, just type that in your browser and click on how you can help. You can see all of the ways that various organizations are offering aid over to the Japan victims. And there's also resources on there if you are looking for loved ones and trying to touch base with friends and families. There's ways on that site, cnn.com/impact, for you to check out.
Now, I would imagine the most urgent need for people on the ground in Japan has got to be food and water and medicine. Those would probably be the big three, right?
Absolutely. And right now, most of the organizations are, you know, asking people to open their pocketbooks and donate. But we are starting to update our page with other ways that people can help. There's going to be some organizations coming out after they've assessed the situation with ways people can volunteer.
You've got World Vision, American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, AmeriCares. Those are just some of the organizations. GlobalGiving.com. There's a Japan Earthquake and Tsunami Relief Fund. Is money, like you said, money is the best thing we can do because they can use those dollars or yen to buy what's absolutely needed at the time, right?
Exactly. And we're still early in the situation, so they need some time to assess in order to really bring up and bring to light the other needs.
I saw something, and I don't know if it's a fair comparison because, you know, Haiti was a country, is a third world country, as opposed to Japan, which is first world, which, you know, we seem to think of as having more resources at its fingertips. But I saw that the donations from Americans are way, way, way behind pace what they were for Haiti last year, that for whatever reason, people are not giving to Japan the way they did to that previous disaster.
You know, that is probably true because, like you said, perhaps people don't see Japan in the same light as Haiti because Haiti is a third world country. But for those that do want to help, you know, we wanted to provide the tools for people to sort of see the news and take action on the news instead of just passively watching.
I got an email from a group that I support a lot, which is the International Medical Corps, which is also on your page. And, you know, they show up with the kind of medicine and health, you know, effects, things that the people there need. And it's a great thing. So what you do is you go to the page, you look through all of the different charities. What speaks to you, for some people, like Bean said, it's the dogs that get trained so that they can find survivors or whatever. Right. It's all different ways you can help.
Absolutely. We have the American Humane Association. So, you know, people can go on the page and look at, right now we have 11 charities that are fully vetted by our very passionate Impact Your World team, and choose the charity that speaks to what you believe in. Okay. And we continually update the page.
CNN.com/impact. That's where you want to go if you want to take a look for the easy links and easy ways to donate and lots of information about the charities and the work that they're doing on the ground in Japan. And this is obviously critical right now as they're still recovering. And who knows what's going to happen with these nuclear reactors. But this is going to be the type of thing where they're going to need help for, you know, months and years to come. Japan has a very long road ahead. And America, of course, is a, you know, we're close friends with Japan, and we need to do everything we can to help them. So, Kim from CNN, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this information with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys, and thanks to your K-Rock listeners.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Hey! Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:56.
It's Friday.
Stop
Friday,
it.
Friday.
Stop it.
I can't stop it. Ralph Garman,
I think it's a hit. I like it.
It is a hit. And I hate it. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin Bean Show. Then Travis Barker right after the top of the hour joining us. What's going on, Ralph?
That's not a hit. You know what's a hit?
What?
Well, it is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today.
All right.
You know what's a hit?
I don't.
Sharktopus! Yay! Today's the day. Available on Blu-ray and DVD. Shark Toe Mother Effin' Puss.
Damn you, Sharktopus!
For those of you who haven't seen my performance as Captain Jack, the pirate radio DJ, whose responsibility is to warn all of the beachcombers about the onslaught attack of Sharktopus.
Would you say you were vigilant with that job in the movie?
No, I was slack with it. I took the whole thing as a big joke, and I cost people their lives.
You did.
I haven't heard this in a long time, Ralph, so I don't know how it's going to play, but I do have your death scene from Sharktopus after you've mocked the Sharktopus in the water. What's the problem?
I got a scene I brought here from the...
I did not know that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is me doing a poor job of warning the beachcombers about Sharktopus.
All right.
Yeah. Yes, the Mexican Fish and Game Commission assures me the only way to appease this beast is to offer it a beautiful virgin, preferably 18 to 25 years old. I repeat, Sharktopus wants our virgins. So, all prospective candidates, please email your photos, preferably nudes, to CaptainJack@pvpirateradio.com. I wish there was another way. I'm sorry. This is our only hope.
Damn you, Sharktopus!
Yeah. See, I was using the Sharktopus to my own evil advantage.
What are you talking about?
Nubile young women to send their nude photos to me.
But that's what Sharktopus needed.
No, sadly, it was all a big scam.
Oh. So you were playing yourself in the movie.
How dare you, sir.
I was playing Kevin, actually.
How dare you, sir.
If you'd like a copy, I'm going to give away five Blu-ray copies of Sharktopus right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. First five callers get Sharktopus on Blu-ray. That's like the new technology and whatnot.
Now,
sweet.
This isn't old school. This isn't like Betamax. This is Blu-ray.
Understand that DVDs will play on Blu-ray players, but...
Blu-rays won't play on DVD players.
So if you don't have a Blu-ray player, don't call.
This is just for the folks who have the Blu-ray. I'll be giving away some DVDs later in the show, so don't feel like you're all disadvantaged.
You can buy it as well today.
You could buy it today if you'd like.
Ralph gets like a half a penny.
Not even. So. All right. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? You're talking about Japan and what we can do to help.
Yep.
Mark Hoppus of Blink-182 is celebrating a birthday today, but more importantly, he's having a garage sale on eBay to help the victims of the earthquake and the tsunami. In Japan, he's auctioning off a ton of personal items, but the one getting the most attention right now are his handwritten lyrics for a rock show.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's always cool to me to see how they kind of came up with it.
One of a kind. Yeah. This is the first time he jotted those words down. If you're a fan of Blink, and especially the song Rock Show, it'd be something you'd like to have. As of last night, the high bid was $20,000.
Wow.
Dude.
Auction closes on March 21st, so go on eBay and look up Mark Hoppus if you want to see what else he's got going on there.
I can't believe how much stuff he saved. I mean, it seems like he saved everything that ever had to do with Blink. Hey, here's the sweater I wore in this video from 11 years ago. You know, it's just crazy, the stuff he's got.
You guys fans of No Ordinary Family? The superhero family drama with Michael Chiklis and Julie Benz.
I like all of the people in it.
Uh-huh. Well, it looks like it may be the end for No Ordinary Family. Now, there's been a no announcement from ABC regarding the future of the show. However, it has been announced today that both Julie and Michael Chiklis have been cast in pilots for other TV shows.
I wonder what that
means. So that's a pretty
mean.
Good indicator that they won't be returning to their old show if they're both taking jobs in brand new shows.
Well, as long as I've still got the cape to watch, I'm fine.
Julie Benz has been cast in a pilot with Patrick Wilson, who stars in the new film Insidious, by the way. He's a real good actor. It's a medical drama. Thank God.
Right.
Finally, a medical drama is going to be on television. And speaking of drama, ABC has announced a brand new show for them. Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition.
What?
Take that, Biggest Loser.
Is this not the same thing?
No. This is a show with 8 super obese people who will try to lose half their body weight in a year. That's not Extreme Makeover. Extreme Makeover is you go in and you build them a bigger house around them because they're so fat they can't get out of their old house. That's Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition. Get your act together, ABC. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Judd Hirsch is 76 years old. He was on Taxi. Most famously, Dee Snider of Twisted Sisters, 56. Fabio turns 50 years old. Bret Michaels of Poison is 48. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray is 43. As you mentioned, Mark Hoppus of Plus 44 and Blink is 39. Eva Longoria is 36, as is Will.i.am of Black Eyed Peas. And Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park celebrates his 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin Devine Show on a Tuesday. Comedian D.L. Hughley joins us later in the hour. Actor Simon Pegg on the program today. Also, Brittany Snow will be joining us, too. She's hot, don't you know?
Yeah.
First, though, here's a day that I never thought would happen. Travis Barker has been lying to us for years, as we've talked about the Kevin Devine Show, about this alleged album that he was working on. Oh, yeah, guys, I'm really busy, and I'm working on my album. Yeah, one day it's going to come out. Well, I got to be honest. I never thought it would happen, but today is the day. Travis Barker in stores and available for download. It's called Give the Drummer Some, and it is a masterpiece. And Travis joins us on the phone from New York City right now. Hey, Travis, welcome back to the program, my friend. How are you?
How you guys doing?
Masterpiece.
I'm telling you, it's my favorite. And Travis and I tweeted each other over the weekend. It's the best album of 2011 by far, and you put everything you had into this thing, Travis. It's incredible, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much, man. That means a whole bunch to me, man.
It was funny, too, because Bean and I have very, very different tastes, and he told me, Kevin, I guarantee you will like it. So I put it in my CD player yesterday, and it is great.
Oh, thank you, guys.
About 3 years you've been working on putting this together, Travis?
Yeah, about 3. You know, I had about 2 or 3 songs finished, like, before my plane crash, so they were just, you know, sitting around for quite some time, and then, you know, it took me about a year, you know, to recoup and kind of get back on my feet, and then, you know, I just went, you know, straight back at it and, you know, tried to pick up where I left off amongst, you know, touring with Blink and everything and just get it done. So today's a big day for me, man.
A big day. And here's the thing about Travis. It's not like, like you said, you had a lot of other things going on. It's not like you were just sitting around not working on the album. When Travis isn't working on the album, he's out on a 9-month tour with Blink or something. You know, the guy's got a very busy schedule. It's like a dream, like a who's who of the hottest acts in music right now. And I guess you just have, you know, you've worked with so many people and have so many friends that, you know, you guys are mutual fans of one another that you just go to your Rolodex. And I imagine nobody says no to Travis Barker when they get the call to be on the album, right?
Well, yeah, I was blessed, man. I got really lucky, you know, over the last 5 years or 6 years when I was, you know, playing with Adam and we were doing our thing. I was, you know, heavily involved with doing a bunch of remixes, and those would turn out to, you know, for them, you know, whoever I did a remix for, they would trade me a verse, or I would just have an opportunity to play, like, original beats that I was working on, you know, and next thing you know, I have, you know, 30 songs compiled, and, you know, I'm just kind of picking through them at the end of all this.
Now, that brings up the next question, which is, I know how most bands write, and they start with, you know, a guitar or piano or something like that. Did you write these songs starting with the beats?
A lot of them started with drum beats. It would be a drum beat, and then, you know, it was either, like, you know, something someone had said in a verse before, just an idea I would have, and then, you know, just communicating with all these artists. And a lot of them, you know, I loved them for a reason, because I already love what they do, whether it had been, you know, Slash or Tom Morello or Lil Wayne or whoever. So it was real easy. I just wanted them to do them on my album, you know?
Speaking of Slash, let's talk about Saturday Night. I have a clip of it, and this is you and the Transplants and Slash. And it's not the sound that I would have expected from you, which I think is always good.
Yeah, that's what I loved about that song. I had written the beat on the way home from a Blink tour. Like, I was on the drive home from New York, and I had my MPC, and I was writing tons of beats, and I came home, and Tim was at the studio when I came back, and I played the beat for everyone. It was like Transplants Tuesday, and seriously, that song came about, you know, in 5 or 10 minutes.
Artists love to hear that, the ones that spend years writing songs.
That's how all Transplant songs turn out, man. It's the easiest band to be in the world.
Here's a little clip of Saturday Night featuring Transplants and Slash.
Every night is a Saturday night for me.
I gotta tell you, to Tim Armstrong sing anything.
Me too.
Man. I don't know why. It's just, you can tell it's him immediately, and it's so likable.
Totally.
Travis, did you, for the most part, get together with these guys in studio to make the records at the same time, or were you just, you know, trading files back and forth via the internet wherever you happened to be with the other people?
It was a lot of both, like the RZA, Carriot joint, RZA and Tom Rell and everyone. Like, that was RZA and I jamming in a room, you know. Other things, like some of Wayne's stuff, because he's so busy, you know, his verses would come, like, via email, but the Slash, you know, song you just played, it was, you know, Slash in the studio, first take.
Wow. Let's talk Can a Drummer Get Some, which is the name of the album. And by the way, that's a misnamed album because you as a drummer have gotten more than most drummers, right?
Yes, I've had much of a share. Okay. I'm very, very blessed.
All right, Can a Drummer Get Some is the name of this. Features Lil Wayne, Rick Ross, Swizz Beatz, and Game. And here's a little clip of that.
Being savage where I'm from, girls managed from the jump. Don't try me like a pump, Travis handed me the... Can a drummer get some?
You get a sense of what that sounds like, and it's just fantastic.
You're going out on a little bit of a tour behind Lil Wayne this spring, right, Travis?
Yeah, I'm on my way to production rehearsals today. Like, it's dress rehearsal tomorrow. The actual tour starts. So, yeah, I'm excited, man. I have 30 minutes to, you know, rock the stage until, you know, he comes out.
You have a weird career. You're aware
no
of that, right? I mean, really strange, different projects.
I know. I sort of looked at it yesterday, and I was like, you know, I was on my way to play 106 in Park on BET, and I was like tripping, like, whoa, man, I'm so like, this is awesome. I'm you know, it's just I get to do something different literally every day.
And as a fan of you know, of all kinds of music, Travis, and I know, you know, hip hop maybe is your first love, but the fact that you work with Lil Wayne, the fact that you work with Eminem, the fact that, you know, you do Jay-Z remixes, I mean, it's just, it has to be a dream come true for you every day when you wake up.
Oh, yeah, man, I pinch myself constantly, you know, going like, wow, you know, is this really happening? You know, when, you know, as a youngster, my goal was to, you know, play the drums and have enough money to eat food and sleep somewhere. So
you've done that.
Yeah, I surpassed that a long time ago. So every day I'm just going, wow, this is, you know, every day is awesome. I have no complaints.
I have another clip here of Cypress Hill. This is you and Cypress Hill doing Beat Goes On.
I lay back on the drum like a beach bum. It's hot as summer, another classic number. Everybody give it up for the funky drummer. And the beat goes on. And the beat goes on and on and on.
Come on.
Come on already.
That's a trip for me, you know. High school, like, that was my favorite group. I was walking around with a Cypress shirt. So some of these, man, some of these guest appearances.
Sure.
You know, you have no idea how big of a, you know, effect it was. I was tripping, you know, and Cypress have always been, you know, huge supporters of Blink. They, you know, they've gone on tour with us, and, you know, we've always been great friends. I was actually in Europe last year on festivals, and, you know, we were talking about my album, and I was sitting there telling them about it, and I was like, yo, the biggest thing wrong with me even talking about this right now is that you guys aren't on the album, and I'm telling you it's almost finished. So literally the week we got home, we were in the studio and did that.
That's fantastic.
This is the voice of our friend Travis Barker on the show, on the Kevin and Bean program, talking about his new album available for download and in stores today called Give the Drummer Some. By the way, if you're buying the CD version, or even if you're downloading it, go ahead and spring the extra couple of bucks and get the bonus version, because it's four extra songs, including one of my favorites, which is Don't F With Me, which is an awesome song. And Corey Taylor from Slipknot singing on My Own, which is an incredible song, too. And by the way, the bonus track, I won't give anything away, Travis, but listen all the way to the end when you get the album. Those are your little people, right?
Yeah, my kids did their thing. Landon and Bama, we were in the studio, and I was wrapping up, and you know, they were messing around. They kept, you know, making their own Give the Drummer Some song. So, you know, I had the opportunity to record them one night, and that was their little contribution to my album.
It's hilarious.
I have one more clip. It's called Let's Go, and this features Busta Rhymes and Lil Jon, a bunch of other people. And I just have a question for you, Travis, and that is, does Busta Rhyme think that this is going to be the last song he ever raps on? Because he always packs it so tight.
Yeah.
He
goes in like that's. He set it off. He did the first verse for that song.
That's what I have right here. I'm gonna play it, and then we can talk about.
Take another minute just to give everybody a movie never seen, a hit with another. Let me get up, everybody, let me move with. On your marks, are you ready?
Let's go.
Wow.
Now, does anyone sit down and go, "We don't understand you"? Does that happen?
That's what I think I showed my dad that, and he was like, "Whoa, pal." He's tripping. No, I mean, Busta has figured that out to a science. Like, him, Twista, and Yellow Wolf are the dopest at rapping that
all
fast.
Three of them are on that song. They all three rap that fast, and it's really unbelievable.
I hear that they're on the beat, they're off the beat, they're on the beat, they're off the beat, they're on the beat, they're on the beat. How many Travis Barker name checks are there on this album from your guest stars?
I don't know. Maybe like three or four, but I never expected them. You know, like when Devil's Got a Hold got back from, you know, Slaughterhouse sent their verses, I was, you know, like Roy says something, you know, drops my name. And of course, every time I'm beside myself going, no way. No way.
He's on the album, but he said my name.
Yeah. Hey, Travis, this is a question I don't know that I've ever asked you before in all the years you've been coming on the show, but do you sing at all?
No, you know, growing up I did, but then I learned, like, you know, I play the drums way better and I enjoy it way more. And I just, I never looked back, but I was in junior high, like, my mom was alive, like, it was a must. Like, you have to be in a singing, you know, class in school. You have to do this. You have to be in a couple things, like jazz band, marching band. So she had me in everything and I was kind of like soaking up everything. But I think as I just grew older, I was more into playing the drums. I never wanted to be a front man. I don't know, it was just my thing.
Plus, if you got you're making an album like yours, why sing when you can get Lil Wayne to do it, right?
I could have never made an album like this if I tried to, even if I did it with one rapper, because like everything is all over the place. Like there's a reason why I wanted it to be that way too. Like no one rapper could have really done everything I wanted to do on the album.
That's the beauty of this album, is every album that comes out by a band sounds like the band. They're doing. Right. They might be doing different styles or whatever, but it's the band. These are all different people. There's some hip hop. There's a lot of rap. There's some rock. I mean, it really is all over the place and makes it really to be a great listen.
Yeah, it could literally sound like 16 different groups on my album, but that was the point. You know, especially on the deluxe edition. If I had it my way, there would only be a deluxe edition, because I honestly wanted that many songs. You know, and like this Steve Aoki join at the end, like there's. It's undeniable. It makes you want to punch somebody, you know?
Aren't you in charge of how many songs get put on the album?
What'd you say?
Aren't you in charge of how many songs get put on the album?
You know, at the end of the day, everyone wanted 12. And okay. I said, you know, I have to have a deluxe edition then, because I can't let these four go. I'm married to them.
Well, I promise you this. Pick up Travis Barker's Give the Drummer Some. You will love it. I mean, I wasn't joking when I said it's a masterpiece. It's easily my favorite album of 2011. I'm so excited and so happy for you, Travis. And I know how much blood, sweat, and tears you put into this over the last 3 years. So congratulations. I'm glad it's finally here. And I hope we see you soon, my friend.
Thank you. When I got that Twitter the other day, I was stoked. I was like, yes, like someone gets it. Awesome.
All right, man. Well, have a great time with Lil Wayne. Hopefully we'll see you sometime this summer, man.
Cool. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, man.
Funny man DL Hughley joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, we're out of time. We got to get right to another song.
First, Bean has a busy weekend.
Bean had a busy weekend!
Come on.
We were talking to Bean yesterday about this, and this is one of those things that always cracks me up, because people care a lot about many, many different things. Some people care a lot about animals. Some people care a lot about humans, whatever. But
environment.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
But
economy.
Bean is almost a guarantee that the thing that everyone throws away, the thing that nobody cares about, is the pinnacle of his interest. I mean, he's way, way interested in stuff no one else cares about. And I'm speaking specifically here about daylight savings time. Now,
daylight saving time, as it's properly known.
That's one of his pet peeves.
Boy, is it.
So daylight savings.
Saving.
Not right, because I put an S on it.
It's
right.
It changes the entire context, Kevin. No one knows what you're talking about. If you say daylight savings time, people look at you as if you're speaking a foreign language, right. And they start to twist and convulse and fall to the ground and foam at the mouth.
Bean does that, though, when he hears the S on it. And it's, well, been, it's crazy. How many letters did you write this past weekend? Emails. How many?
I was busy. I was putting out fires, if that's what you're asking.
Who were you writing to?
Whoever was getting it wrong.
Did you write to the LA Times?
I did. The LA Times wrote me back and apologized for the error and said, you're absolutely right. Thank you for alerting us.
Oh, can you imagine that poor bastard?
As a matter of fact,
got that email from Bean.
He so wishes he could send an email bomb. They have to invent an email bomb. That's what that guy was thinking while he was typing back.
Guys, here my whole thing. Maybe it doesn't matter what we say.
It doesn't.
But if you're a freaking newspaper, there is such thing as right and wrong when you're writing something for public consumption. Why not? If it's just as easy to do it right, why not do it
right
instead of wrong?
That's not my point.
Meaningless? Because it's meaningless.
It's not meaningless. Look,
That's doesn't change it. Doesn't change it one bit. That has changes it, nothing.
But wait,
that's
not true. But let me give this example. Let me give it. What if we're all fans of the show House, right? What if I always called the show Houses? Now you guys would still know what I was talking about. But it's not named House.
Right,
the name of the show and the name of the character is House. It's not Houses.
Right.
I could say it and you could still understand what I'm saying. It would still be wrong.
Nobody says Houses. Everybody says they do. Everybody says it that way.
That's true.
Not everybody. How many letters did you have to write?
I tell you what, like the New York Times, they get it right. The Wall Street Journal, they get it right.
Bean sees it. He's the policeman of daylight saving. If somebody puts an S there, he writes him a ticket.
Bean has too much time on his hands.
But I mean, like, for instance, I'm on the Twitter, and of course, you know, a lot of people were tweeting about the time change over the weekend. So you get a guy like Billy Bush, who ought to know better because he's on TV, and he's tweeting about daylight savings time. So I write him and go, hey, Billy, you're on television. You ought to know it's daylight saving time.
You are a massive tool.
Wow. Why should he be out giving wrong information?
Because it's not wrong information.
It's but also it not the wrong. Twitter.
It isn't the Twitter. That's true. You add the to everything.
What if everyone said the Twitter all the time and was completely wrong about it? We should bash it in their skull with a big lead pipe.
I came in yesterday. He said, we have the Twitch on later today. And I off the air, I said, hey, Bean, just so you know, he goes by Twitch. He said, I know. I added the to be funny. That's fine.
Well, I added the daily savings on being funny then.
Bean, you should write a letter to you.
You should write a letter to that.
You can't write a letter to F you, Omar.
Well, one's writing it to you.
How much can you care? Like, if I noticed, and I don't, if I noticed that it was wrong, I would think, hey, that's wrong. Now I'm going to go about my day and do whatever I'm doing. I would never sit down and email them.
It doesn't take that much time.
Did you write?
I wrote a few. I wrote to Home and Garden TV. I wrote to some e-cards.
Come on, some e-cards.
Well, because they have these e-cards, you know, they make these little digital cards that you can send to people about daylight savings time. And it just doesn't make any sense. Whoever's writing that obviously is ignorant. Look, guys, all you have to do is go back to Uniform Time Code Act of 1966 to see that I'm right.
You don't have to tell us. No, we're not saying you're not right. We're saying no one cares, and it's going to become just so used that it is going to become right.
It already is considered common usage, by the way, for people to say daylight savings.
Does it make it right? Yeah, so is anyways. People say anyways. It doesn't make it right.
Right, but why are you the policeman?
I'm not the policeman.
You're the policeman for daylight saving.
I'm just pointing out.
Are you the daylight saving police?
I wish. I wish I could somehow get that job. Oh, my God.
Bean, you should go f*** yourself.
All right. I'm writing a strongly worded letter to Omar right now.
Bean's a daylight savings.
The only cool thing about being a black comedian is you get to say shit other people can't say. That's the deal. Gas is so high. Gas costs more than cocaine. I'm not saying I know. I'm just telling you it's high. This nation was founded by immigrants. Everybody in this mother took a boat. Some of us willingly. Women love to spend time with you, but only when you're doing the shit they want to do. Let's stay home and drink some wine and watch some porno. No!
Funny man D.L. Hughley in town tomorrow night at the Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach. Always welcome on the Kevin Bean Show. D.L., how are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm in New York. I'm having a good day. I got a taxi on the first try.
Wow, nice. Because usually you stand out there for an hour.
I usually have to have a white lady get it for me. But this time, all right.
Thank you, President Obama.
D.L., I was thinking as I was listening to your introductory piece there that all of your gas prices are so high jokes are back in fashion now.
Aren't they? You know, and it's so funny because now there's just, you know, obviously what is happening in Japan, you know, the global petroleum market is going to go through the roof. And I want to, you know, certainly extend my heartfelt condolences and prayers to everybody who has family out there. It's just it's a weird time, man.
Yeah.
It's like the Book of Revelations right now.
It is, yeah.
It does seem like that. like every single day you wake up and there's a new disaster. Now, let me ask you this. In terms of being a comic at this time, what do you think about Gilbert Gottfried losing his Affleck job for making jokes about the tsunami? I mean, a lot of people say too soon. A lot of other people will say, hey, we need to laugh also. The world goes on, and that's what Gilbert does. What are your thoughts?
Well, the problem is there's two things. One, he works for an insurance company that probably, you know, is owned by somebody who's going to have to pay something out. And the other thing is when you are corporate, you work for a corporation, their whole thing is making money. If you do anything to jeopardize the profit margins, then you're going to obviously be in trouble. But I think that in this, like now there's this move, there's so many things that are funny to me. There's this move to kind of rewrite history now. Like, Mark Twain, they took the N-word out of his books. He said it that the N-word 219 times,
right,
in Huckleberry Finn, four times in Tom Sawyer, and they replaced it with slave. And let me, just white people, that ain't an upgrade.
That's not helping the cause at all?
I go to my house, but if you call me a slave, I got to go with you.
Have you ever been in a situation where you have gotten in some serious trouble or have seriously offended somebody with your comedy, DL?
Oh, obviously. I mean, I think the Don Imus thing, I was getting protested everywhere. I think that people have an aversion to truth and to irony. I think that we're irony and truth averse. It's an amazing thing. Like, I was in Arizona when the shooting happened.
You're right.
I was gigging there when the shooting happened. And I wasn't shocked because that is a place, all they got is evil white dudes, guns, and cactus.
That's true. That is true.
And it's so funny because truth is, like Walmart, you can't buy an album that mentions guns or talks about violence, but you can actually buy a gun in Walmart. Like, you have a new Jay-Z? No, but we have an Uzi on aisle three. It's so hypocritical that it's ridiculous.
DL Hughley on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's going to be on stage at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. That is going to be tomorrow night. And then in 2 weeks, by the way, you're going to be with the Shaquille O'Neal All-Star Comedy Jam, which is going to be out at the San Manuel Casino. Go ahead.
The Indians, I was actually at an Indian casino. I was doing a gig in Albuquerque. And I was at an Indian casino, the Sandia Indian Casino. You couldn't drink and gamble. You could drink or gamble, but you couldn't drink and gamble. Because an Indian said, last time we drank and gambled, we lost New York. Thank you in my ass.
DL, I got to ask you real quick before you go, anything in the works to get you back on the television? That's where you're really missed.
We did a pilot. That's what I was doing in Albuquerque for TNT. Me and Steven Weber from Studio 60, who I think is the most talented actor I've ever worked with. So we'll see if that goes. It's kind of a lethal weapon kind of thing. So we're going to see if that goes. And we are also getting ready to shoot another comedy special. So I'm excited about that.
Wow, fantastic. All right. Tomorrow night, Hermosa Beach, Comedy and Magic Club. Go to comedyandmagicclub.com. See the always hilarious DL Hughley on the stage. Thanks a lot for calling me, man. Great to catch up with you.
Thank you for having me, man.
Hey, Lisa May.
Yes.
Bradley Cooper on the show later this week.
Yum.
Also, Seth Rogen, our friend Matt Money Smith, will be previewing March Madness for us. Bill Hader on the program. Lacey Schwimmer, who? Mike Catherwood's dancing partner on Dancing with the Stars.
That's poor girl.
Yeah.
She's going to be on tomorrow. Adam Carolla as well. Right now, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Who was the comedian we had on in the last break? Do you know? Happen to know this guy's name?
D.L. Hughley.
Oh, Hughley. But I thought you said it was D.L. Hughley.
He did.
I have heard that as well. I stand corrected.
You're getting a strongly written letter. Oh, strongly worded letter coming to you.
The difference is when you told me, hey, it's Hughley, I said, okay. And then every time I mention it after that, I say it correctly because I actually learn when people tell me things.
You didn't learn the last seven times we had him on.
That's right, when you said it right.
And by the way, meanwhile, Beer Mug says, oh, D.L. Hughley. He said the exact same thing. He's heard it the same way I have.
So he's your guy then. He's your backup.
I'm just saying. There are people who say it incorrectly.
Worry more about when it actually makes a difference versus when it's meaningless. That's all I'm saying. Spend your time a little more wisely. You have chosen poorly.
You're making fun of me earlier because he was correcting everybody when they say daylight savings time.
Right.
He would say saving and write him emails and all kinds of stuff.
Spend the weekend writing emails.
Yeah. I had a very busy weekend.
Time for a Showbiz Beat now with Ralph Garmans.
Could have used a little more time of that weekend looking in how to say the name of our guest. That's all I'm saying. Could have used his time more wisely. Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of a movie called Sucker Punch. It's happening at Grauman's Chinese Theater on Wednesday, March the 23rd. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, March 25th. But you will be one of the first people to see it, along with the stars of the film. If you're one of the first two lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067. Call in now, 1-800-520-1067. From the director, Zack Snyder. He's one of my favorites.
He's great.
Looking forward to seeing that. All right. You guys upset as I am about the Bachelorette last night? Or the Bachelor?
Frankly, I'm upset to find out how many people watched The Bachelor.
Brad's decision was awful.
Okay.
We all knew that he was going to pick Emily. We could just sense it because Emily kept keeping it at arm's length and kept saying, oh, no, I'm scared. I'm not too sure I'm going to let you into my life. And he kept chasing her and chasing her. Meanwhile, poor Chantal could not be more in love with him, could not be more fun-loving, more ready for a relationship. And he just shatters her.
I thought you were the guy who does nothing but make fun of people who try to find love on TV game shows. Why do you care who he picks? They're going to be broken up in 6 months anyway.
6 months are already broken up.
Yeah, they broke up in between the time the show finished shooting and aired.
Yeah.
We found that out on After the Final Rose last night. So.
I don't know if it's officially correct, but Jimmy Kimmel last night said that The Bachelor is 1 for 15 in couples staying together.
Well, of course. Yeah.
He said the Clippers would laugh at that record. But Ashley H. was announced on Jimmy's show. She will be the next Bachelorette, so we got that to look forward to. She's a dental student in Philadelphia.
I can't.
Couldn't be more excited.
Who's got time for The Bachelor, honestly? Wow.
But you're going to segue right into Dancing with the Stars now. You and your girlfriends can get together on Monday nights now and watch that starting this week. Right?
Here's what happened to me. My wife started having these viewing parties on Monday nights with her and her girlfriends for The Bachelorette. Bachelor and Bachelorette.
So you started a
beer
party
out. And they always have good food. They have good food at these things. So I go down to the kitchen and I'm helping myself to cheese puffs and whatnot. And I got chips and dip and I'm cracking a cold one, and I'm looking over my shoulder, and they're watching the show. And week by week, I started to linger in the room and watch a little bit, and then I'd leave. And then next week, I'd stick around and linger a little bit. Last night, I'm actually sitting on the couch like, oh, I can't believe she picked Emily. That's ridiculous.
Talking with all the other girls?
It was indoctrination. They took over my brain.
Wow.
Plus, I was sick. I was in a weakened state. So I think I've got a defense.
Ralph is a hypocritical douchebag.
Well, not, sure, there's that, too.
Not much of one, but all right.
It's got another option. Would you like to know what the most pirated films of the year are?
Most pirated?
I always find this interesting. I think you can judge truly America's interest in a feature film by how many people pirated. Because it's the most difficult way of all, I think, to get your hands on a movie, don't you think?
Absolutely.
If it's available on DVD or something like that, you're a big pirate.
How dare you?
I'm saying, you know, rather than just Netflix it or buy it or something, to actually go through the process of having to pirate takes a little extra work. So I just find this list interesting.
Unless you know a guy.
Comes to us from the Hollywood Reporter.
Kevin, you are the guy. Kevin's got every movie ever made in the trunk of his car, Ralph. All you have to do is tell him what you want. For $10, he'll give you any movie you want.
Now, sometimes these movies are already in theaters, which, you know.
Sure.
It's even worse. But I thought this was interesting. Came from The Hollywood Reporter. The Mechanic was 10th on their list of most pirated films.
Someone has to fix stuff when it breaks.
Exactly.
Whatever that slogan was.
How do you know?
What's that?
Oh,
a movie?
My God.
Is that a movie? It must be a movie.
How do you know?
Yeah, that was that James L. Brooks one. Remember with Reese Witherspoon?
Oh,
nope.
No.
That romantic comedy that was a colossal bomb. Nobody saw that in theaters. Why would anyone want to bootleg it?
127 hours.
All right. That's a good one.
Seventh, The King's Speech. Sixth, Drive Angry. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Drive Angry.
I'm out of hell. Look for my daughter. Season of the Witch. Fifth, The Fighter. Fourth, Chronicles of Narnia. The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Third, The Next 3 Days was second. Most pirated since last fall.
The Next 3 Days?
That's Russell Crowe breaking his wife out of prison.
That's weird.
Oh, wow.
I was surprised. And this falls right in line, number one. What do you think, people who spend a lot of time on the computer, what movie would they like to see the most?
Tron.
Tron Legacy, absolutely. Number one.
Yeah.
Most pirated film since the fall. Wow. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Excuse me if I make it through. Judd Hirsch is 76 years old today. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is 56. Fabio celebrates his 50th birthday. Bret Michaels of Poison's 48. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray is 43. Mark Hoppus of Blink 182. He is 39. By the way, Mark Hoppus is doing an eBay auction. It's like a garage sale type deal.
Right.
He is selling off a lot of his personal items, a lot of Blink related stuff, as well as from his band Plus 44. The original lyrics, for example, to what song was it? I know I mentioned Rock Show.
Rock Show.
Yeah.
Rock Show.
Yeah. His handwritten lyrics are up for auction. Right now, the bid is $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're interested, you can go to eBay to find that auction.
I'm
not sure where else you can get it.
Okay.
No. Eva Longoria is 36 years old today. Will I Am of Black Eyed Peas is 36 as well. Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't think there's ever been a movie named Paul before. I think that's a title that has been out there floating around just waiting for somebody to come up with the idea. But it is here, and it is opening everywhere this Friday, March 18th. We couldn't be more excited to have one of the co-writers and stars of the film, our old friend Simon Pegg, back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the show. Hey, Simon, how are you, man?
Oh.
Hey. What's up?
First of all, nothing.
First of all, do you miss American Idol?
No, that's Simon Cowell, Kevin. Oh. Yeah, you're confused. We talked to him yesterday.
Oh, because I've got the same name. It's
See?
Brilliant.
It's brilliant. Thank you. See? You forgot what a wacky show you're on. Hey, Simon, first of all, welcome back. Great to talk to you. Second of all, you have a movie named Paul.
I do have a movie named Paul, yes. It's out Friday, and it's ever so good.
This is you and your buddy Nick Frost just driving around causing trouble, causing intergalactic problems when you take in an alien who's on the run, right?
Yeah, it's Nick Frost who has played Ed in Shaun of the Dead and my partner Danny in Hot Fuzz. And it's two sort of British nerds who go to come to America, and of all the things they happen upon when they come to Area 51 to sort of have a bit of a geek out over the UFO thing, is an alien, a real alien that they have to give a lift to.
We've gone to Area 51 looking for aliens, and that has never happened to us.
No.
We just love the idea that of all the people that could come across an alien, it would be two nerds.
Right. Now, did you have any kind of a private personal fascination with the ETs? Is that why you wanted to write this movie, or no? You just thought it had great comic potential?
Well, to be honest, the idea initially came from the fact we were making Shaun of the Dead and it was raining a lot, and we thought, let's make a film in a desert, you know, just because we're so sick of the rain. And then the desert became Area 51, and that obviously meant aliens. And it was more because we're fans of those kind of films, you know. It's like I grew up watching films like E.T. and Close Encounters, and I'm a big sort of fan of science fiction and just those great caper movies of the 80s, like Back to the Future and Gremlins, where, you know, it's just a big fantasy adventure, and we got the chance to make one.
Hey, and don't be confused. This is a very different alien invasion than Battle Los Angeles. There's no similarity at all.
This is the only alien, of all the alien movies that are coming out, and there are many, this is the only alien who would actually sit down with you and smoke a bong.
That's true.
He's not going to shoot you, eat you, subjugate you. He's going to sit you down, have a campfire, and drink some beers.
All right, nice sure. Guy. But he's not even going to take our weed. He's just going to share it, right?
He gets stuff, you know, he's from the military. He's plugged in because he's been at Area 51. So
sure.
All their experimental ganja, he gets chunked.
Oh, I like it. Right. Now, in research, did you go to Roswell? Did you go to the little alien? Did you go to all the awesome attractions that they have out there in New Mexico? Because I have visited every bit of it. I love that stuff.
Yeah, we went to the little alien in Nevada. In fact, the owners of the little alien were at the premiere last night. Pat and Connie came from, we flew them in from Nevada especially. And I think they were quite sort of, you know, because at the party they'd done this big sort of neon reconstruction of what is essentially their little diner in the middle of the desert, which has become synonymous with aliens because it's
right.
Like Area 51. But, you know, for them it's like, I think they were quite surprised.
Seth Rogen voices your alien. That's a great call. He is fantastic at voice work. And I think we've got a clip of the movie, don't we, Kevin, where we hear a little bit of Seth playing Paul from the movie opening up this Friday.
Are you an alien?
To you I am, yes.
Are you going to probe us? Why does everyone always assume that? What am I doing? Am I harvesting farts? How much can I learn from an ass?
What? I'm sorry. If you don't help me, I could die on this road tonight.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Help me grab him. This man's peed his pants.
All right.
Simon, tell me about working with one of your early crushes, Sigourney Weaver, in the movie.
That was amazing. We had this idea for this character, and we thought, well, let's ask Sigourney Weaver. We might as well. And she said yes, because she loved the script so much. And it was a joy. She's an amazing, we've got such an amazing cast in this film. We've got some of the finest of American comedy acting, and it was a joy for me and Nick to work with them. But also people like Sigourney and Blythe Danner and, you know, like proper actors. So it was
Jane Lynch is in it, Bill Hader, Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig, yeah. Joe DiTullio. There's a cameo from one of the greatest directors of all time. You know, we've got Jane Lynch shot it just before Glee aired. She'd shot Glee, but it hadn't been on yet, so she was like pre-Glee. So we got her at a good time.
Nice. So you didn't have to pay her anything, is what you're saying by that?
We paid her very little.
All right.
And she is a major star. She's a lovely lady, actually. I mean, everyone in this movie was just, they threw themselves into it. And even Seth wasn't actually on set because we had to do our stuff with him separately. But, you know, when you hear that clip, you can hear Seth Rogen. But when you see the movie, you don't, here, Seth, you see Paul, and he's such right. an amazing creation. He's the most extraordinary CG character I've ever seen, because it genuinely looks like he's there. He's got weight, and he's so lovable and real. It's quite bizarre.
And some of the clips that I've seen do harken back to E.T. when, you know, Drew Barrymore is trying to hide E.T. by dressing him up and taking him out for trick-or-treat and stuff like that. I mean, you have to kind of do the same thing with Paul and make sure nobody discovers you. It actually does look like a throwback and very funny.
It's very much so. It's a tribute to all those films. I grew up with those movies, and it was our chance to make one. So, yeah, we actually try and sort of smuggle Paul through this small town dressed as a small cowboy or a member of the village people, whatever way you look at it.
All right, Simon Pegg, great to talk to you. Hey, real quick before you go, I just have to ask, where are we on Star Trek? It seems like it's been long enough now that they should be working on the next movie. What's going on, dude?
They are. It's being written as we speak. The early word on the script is that it's already better than the first one, and we're going to shoot it hopefully in late summer. I mean, there's a great buzz. They don't tell us anything. They don't tell the actors because we're notorious for... For spilling seat. We're always in this situation, and we say, yeah, there's this bit, and this happens, and then we get sued. So they don't tell us anything. So all I know is that it looks like we'll be shooting it in August.
That's great. Can't wait for Scotty to come back. Go see Paul. Fantastic cast. And Bill Hader and Seth Rogen both on the show later this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk more about it, too. But, Simon, thanks for coming on, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
Thank you. I don't remember who said it yesterday, so I can't give them the proper credit, but somebody said that listening to the Charlie Sheen rants of the last couple of weeks is like trying to read Red Hot Chili Pepper lyrics, which I thought was very funny. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful Brittany Snow joins us next hour here on the program, talking about her Maxim cover story. Right now, though, the story of a Brooklyn restaurateur named Ted Mann. Very successful guy in New York City, by the way. You know, I've heard that if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Oh.
And he's got like 10 successful restaurants. The guy is really, really happening over there. A very happy life in Brooklyn. He gets a phone call out of the blue the other day. And it's a woman, who says, hey, I'm your sister. She had been adopted at the same time. They are brother and sister. They had been adopted away as young kids.
Wait, did he know her?
He did not know her. He did not know her. They had been adopted away, and she had decided, as adoptees often do, hey, I'm going to go through the adoption agency and see if I can find some other family members. So he gets this call that says, hey, I'm your sister. And he goes, how about that? And then she goes,
I'd like to have dinner tonight and every night at my table.
Can you hook me up at all of your restaurants?
Yeah.
And then this is why this story is in the news, and this is what makes this story different from all the other adoptees go out and find their parents. Then she says, but wait, there's more. Our father is Ted Nugent. The Motor City Madman. Ted Nugent, popular rock and roll star of the 60s and 70s, who now is famous for being a wacky conservative who kills everything.
He does kill a lot.
He has a lot of shows on the cable channels where he just goes out and anything that gets in his way, he shoots either with a gun or with a bow and arrow. So the guy finds out not only that, you know, he has a sister, but now he has a father, and his father is freaking Ted Nugent. How weird is that?
How many times do you think Ted Nugent has gotten that phone call, by the way?
Good question.
Probably like 200?
Well, Ted has, I think, 7 other children, or maybe it's 7 children including these two, but he had always told the other kids, yeah, I gave up when I was young and couldn't take care of them. I gave up a boy and a girl for adoption. And apparently he was very open about it and was very welcome to be coming back in touch with them when the call came.
We have very different takes on this, because to me that would be awesome, because he's crazy. Ted Nugent. The only thing I know about him, like, I didn't know his music. I don't know. I knew he was popular in the 70s, and I know that he kills things. That's it.
He kills That's a about lot of what things, I know.
Right? He's crazy, right? So I would think that would be great news.
Yeah,
but then we had some other people here who go, no, that would suck. Go,
well, the killing things doesn't really make me happy. I don't think I'd want him to be my dad.
Well, Ted, apparently they've got a relationship now. Ted has been down to Ted Nugent's ranch in Texas, and they've hung out together and had a barbecue, and they're getting ready to go on a hunting trip later this month.
Of course,
so apparently,
they are.
Apparently Ted is into it. Yeah. Hey, son, nice to meet you. Let's go kill some stuff. But we started thinking about this. Look, this is a story that made the news because apparently it has a happy ending, and it does have the celebrity factor. But there are thousands and thousands of people who are going through exactly what Ted's sister went through, which is, I know I'm adopted, even if I'm cool with my family that I consider my family, there's still somebody out there that I'm related to that I need to meet. And that's apparently, that's an ache that a lot of adopted kids feel, is they want to get back in touch with their birth parents or with their other siblings.
Now, I don't know what that feels like at all.
I don't either. It's hard to put me in their shoes. It really is.
It seems to me, not knowing anything about it, like that could end up bad 99% of the time. Like, what are the chances that you're going to go find your actual birth mom or father, and they're going to be a scientist, or they're going to be independently wealthy and love you like no one's ever loved you? I mean, it just doesn't seem possible. It seems like you're just opening yourself up to heartache, more heartache.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways that it can go wrong because, let's face it, you don't know a lot of times what the reasons were that they gave you up, but maybe it's that they don't want to have kids. You know, maybe they're not interested in having a kid now anymore than
they were having a kid then. Yeah, it's just there's so many ways it could go wrong.
I saw a show called Heavy about these really overweight people, and this kid did find his adoptive parents, and the thing that helped him, they were welcoming as it turned out, but even if they hadn't been, it was the fact that they explained to him why they'd given him up, because he always just thought he wasn't good enough and they right. just mm-hmm. didn't want him. And
I don't
and
know
it
him
really...
but I'm guessing he wasn't.
Well,
you can tell by 4 months, right?
Right, sure. Since he became a big fat ass and ended up on the right. TV show Heavy, they're probably glad that they got rid of him.
Maybe that's why he became a big fat ass.
They couldn't afford the food. All right, so here's what we want. We want, if you found your birth parent and it turned out different than you thought. Now, having said that, we have the emotional age of about a sixth grader. So don't, if you're still raw and it still hurts and it went badly and they abused you, don't call us. We don't want to talk to you because we can't handle that. We'll have to make a joke about it, and then you'll get mad and that won't be fun for anyone.
Yeah, there's no crying in Kevin and Bean. Right. That's the one thing we've learned. So if it is still an awfully sensitive, painful topic for you, please sit this one out. But for everybody else, I am fascinated with this story. Look, no story is going to top Ted, Mr. Man.
I don't think so.
No story is going to top, hey, Ted Nugent is my dad. But if you went in search of the birth parents because you're adopted and you just had to know, and it turned out, as Kevin said, differently than you thought it would. And that may have something to do with it, by the way. Some of these people may have expectations. Hey, my life is empty because I don't have this right. mother in my life, and now that's going to change everything, and everything's going to be perfect once I meet her. It could be on you if you went out and saw somebody.
And then they go meet her, and she's a bag lady, and you go, oh!
I mean, there are a lot of ways this could go wrong, as you said, but we want to hear the stories. Even if they went great, we want to hear about them, too. We want to hear what happened when you went to seek your birth parents. 1-800-520-1067. We're really rolling the dice here. We have no idea how this is going to go. But we do want to hear your stories, and we'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean.
Discuss. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:43.
I appreciate you letting people hear every last drop of that song.
You don't want to talk all over it. You know what I mean? Like, people talk over songs. You go, hey, be quiet. That's music.
Disrespectful to yours. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We don't have much time here, but we were fascinated by the story of what happened to a Brooklyn restaurateur named Ted Mann. Found out that he had a sister that was given up for adoption the same time he was, back when they were little kids. Also found out that they have a dad named Ted Nugent. When he heard the news from his sister, our dad is Ted Nugent, he said these words: the guy who kills everything?
Yes, is the answer to that.
And apparently they've been getting on famously ever since. But we wanted to hear your stories of looking for your adoptive parents. How did it work out for you? Was it different than you expected? So let's try Casey real quick on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Casey, thanks for holding on. What happened, man?
I was half adopted. My dad abandoned me when I was born.
Right.
And I didn't find out until I was about 12 that I was adopted. My dad, that I call dad now, adopted me when he married my mom when I was 2.
Right.
And about last year on New Year's, my mom told me who my real dad was because they didn't want me to sleep with my half-sister.
Whoa!
Oh, you mean you were sort of dating a girl and they had to come to you and say there's a reason why you can't keep going out with her? She's your sister?
No, we weren't dating, but I was. I had a girlfriend for 7 years and we had broken up, and me and my half-sister were always close. So they
but you didn't know she was your half-sister?
No.
What a bummer.
My dad and my biological dad are best friends.
Okay.
Wow. So
I've known my half-sister my whole life.
But you've known her your whole life, but you didn't know she was your half-sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that? That sounds like a TV show, dude.
It does. Did you?
That's crazy.
You ended up sleeping with her, didn't you? You're just cleaning it up for the radio. Almost.
I told them to pretend they didn't tell me for a week.
Wow.
Thanks for the call, Casey. Let's try Eric. Yeah, Eric, real quick on line two. Eric, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Hey, Kevin Bean. Basically, when I was, I'm 36 now, when I was 29, I was about ready to go on to medical school, and obviously, you know, tight with cash. My mom kind of just came up to me and, you know, had a little conversation where she just said that, hey, if, by the way, you're adopted, and if you needed some extra cash, you may want to, you know, hit up to your dad. He may have some money.
In a minute. Wait.
Well, that's a nice call for dad out of the blue. Hey, I'm your kid, and I need money.
Well, wait, she didn't tell you this your whole life until you were going to college?
No, she told me, you know, protecting my dad who raised me, his feelings and whatnot. But so I didn't know until I was basically 30.
30 years old, and did your dad have a lot of money?
Yeah, my dad was actually, when I decided to meet him, he was a very successful entrepreneur, had multiple businesses, and did have some, you know, a lot of dough.
Did he help you out and send you to school?
No, actually, I worked out a little deal with him. Told him if I get done with residency, then he can help me, you know, open a business and start a practice. So
wow, that was real generous of you to offer him that deal. What a nice son!
Wait, you needed the money though. Why wouldn't you ask him for it then?
I wanted to build a relationship. See if you know.
No.
Before you soak him for his cash, you want to pretend to like him, right?
No, because exactly. He's going to go away regardless. So you got to get you got to dash for the cash.
You know, when I went to his house for the first time, he's like, "By the way, this is in, you know, your house, and you know, it's in, you know, my will. So you've had this house for 20 years,
really?
So
that's,
dude.
Down Laguna.
All right,
it worked out. All right, Eric. Hey, thanks for the call. Real quick, a couple of emails. My wife met her birth father by accident. JJ writes in a bar. He was drunk and was unsuccessfully hitting on her. Her aunt recognized him and told her. How about that?
Oh no, that's your dad in a bar.
That's the worst.
Oh.
John writes in, I was adopted and found my birth father. He was really cool at first. He lived in a big house. He took me out hunting. Then he told me that he needed a new kidney. And after I gave him mine, he told me he was just conning me all along. But it's okay. We later both ended up on an island and I met this other guy who killed him for me. Oh, wait. Maybe that was just a TV show. What about Brittany Snow, ladies and gentlemen? What about that?
That's a good deal right there.
What about that? Yep. Yes, she is. We'll talk to her coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us in studio now for a look at the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Here's the thing about Brittany Snow, too. Minx.
Minx.
She's a minx.
Yeah.
She is.
Doesn't see herself that way.
She's a naughty little minx.
Did you read the interview with her?
I did not. Yeah.
She doesn't see herself that way.
She doesn't see herself as a naughty little minx?
No.
I'm a nerd. I don't have a boyfriend. I'm single. I can't get anyone to go out with me.
Stop it, you naughty minx.
Yep.
With your pajama parties and your pillow fights.
She does talk about that one.
Yeah, she does.
Yep, that happens.
All right. Let's give away some DVDs, shall we? Today is Sharktopus Day. Happy International Sharktopus Day, everyone.
International?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, did you air overseas, Ralph?
We shot it in Mexico, for God's sakes.
Right, well, that's true.
There you go. Yeah, it aired overseas, too. Huge, huge hit. You know, when it aired on Sci-Fi Channel, over 2.5 million viewers.
Wow.
That was pretty strong for a basic
damn series. You, Sharktopus!
I've got four DVDs to give away right now. 1-800... Try that again.
That's a little sick.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First four people to get through, get a brand spanking new, clean, smells like new car edition of the DVD of Sharktopus. So please enjoy.
As compared with the old DVDs of Sharktopus?
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, right. You can buy them places too, you know.
Sure.
Amazon and Best Buy and stuff like that.
Sure.
Just saying.
But why buy them when you can win them?
If you don't win it,
oh,
feel free to buy it. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying.
I can't get over the stable of stars at Arc Music Factory. I can't get past it. I'm obsessed. It happened over the weekend when I discovered Friday by Rebecca Black, who is America's hottest new 13-year-old singing sensation.
Oh, she's
that how young she is?
Yeah.
Oh, that poor girl. Poor
kid. She's not talented at all.
No, she's not. And her parents saw fit to buy her a record and a video that was on YouTube this weekend. It got 2 million hits, and people are pointing and laughing at her now because it's one of the worst songs ever. So I did a little research, and it turns out the Arc Music Factory is a sham. No, a company.
It's a company.
Here in Los Angeles, where if you have a kid at 13 to 17 years old and you give them an ass full of money, they will write a song for your kid and auto-tune the crap out of them and then do a video for them.
Okay.
And
that's where that Friday song came from?
That's where that came from.
All right.
So it's hardly Rebecca's fault. It's not like she penned that herself, although it certainly sounds like a 13-year-old could have.
But we don't know what this company is promising them. If all they're promising is you get a professionally looking video, well, they've delivered that.
Yes.
I just hope they're not saying, hey, we're going to turn you into a star and get you played on the radio.
I'm hoping that too. I certainly hope that. Because I listened to their some of their other artists.
And they're all equally good?
Like Ariana Dvorak, who's got a smash hit single now called Fly Away. And I'd like you to listen to the dulcet tones of Ariana singing.
Take me away.
Be able to sing anymore with the auto-tune and everything
she
else.
Can't even fake it with the auto-tune.
Yeah, make that stop.
That's just one of the many songs you can hear over on their website, by the way. It's just magical. Speaking of auto-tune, listen to Alana Lee here. I don't know how old she is, but she needed a lot of auto-tuning. I thought the Chipmunks were singing that song for a minute there.
That's jarring.
I just can't believe Kesha doesn't have a hand in any of these songs.
How about Abby Victor and her song Crush?
This is all the same song. It's crappy.
Oh, Lord.
I hope Carson Daly isn't listening because he's going to have to be playing every one of these the next 6 months.
He's going to scoop up all these girls and make them Carson's Angels.
Wonder how much they charge.
I don't know.
I'd love to know that.
But I'm guessing it's a grip load.
I would imagine so, too.
Maybe we could talk to someone from Arc Music Factory sometime this
week. Oh, I'm sure that would work out well.
They're getting such positive response to their material. I'm sure they'd love to come on.
I'm out of time already, and I just spent all the time on Arc Music Factory. I just love
if
it.
Friday, which we didn't have a chance to play a clip from, if that song were available on iTunes, Ralph, it would sell. People would buy it.
Stop saying that.
Yes,
stop
they
trying
would.
To act like it's a hit. It's an ironic hit. People are watching and looking and listening because it's horrific.
Most people are. But when you have 2 million hits on YouTube, there are some people who are liking it.
You know,
you hear that in the beginning?
Start it over, because every song from Arc Music Factory, every song goes, arc. They drop arc in the beginning of every one of their songs.
Yeah.
Arc.
At least it's subtle.
Go, Becky. Go, Becky. Go, Becky.
7 a.m. waking up in the morning, gotta be gotta go downstairs, gotta have my bowl, gotta have cereal. Seeing everything, the time is going, ticking on and on, everybody's rushing. Gotta get down to the bus stop, gotta catch my bus. I see my friends,
oh, your friends are there.
Kicking in the front seat, sitting in the back seat.
Back seat, what about you?
Gotta make my mind up, which seat can I take?
Front or back, what is she doing?
What a moral dilemma.
What
seat will she sit in? She had her bowl of cereal.
It's like an Adam Sandberg Saturday Night Live music video, isn't
Yesterday was Thursday. Tomorrow is Saturday.
Going through the days of the week is the best. Tomorrow is Saturday. Sunday comes afterwards. Someone's got to pay. Someone's got to pay. That's all I'm saying.
Her parents did.
Yeah, apparently so.
Someone did pay.
Today's celebrity birthday is Judd Hirsch is 76. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is 56. Fabio celebrates his 50th birthday today. Bret Michaels of Poison is 48. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray and Celebrity Apprentice is 43. Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 is 39. Eva Longoria is 36, as is Will.i.am of Black Eyed Peas. And DJ Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park celebrates his 34th birthday. And Ralph Garman at Walk the Showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And don't forget World Tour 2011. It's continuing. Destination number 8. You get to go to London's Hyde Park and see Mumford & Sons. Keep listening for your tickets. You get Railroad Revival Tour on April 22nd in San Pedro. A limited edition signed lithograph. And you get on the standby boarding list.
Awesome.
What are you going to do with a Mumford & Sons lithograph?
Put it on my wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right on. Go to krock.com for details. It's 909.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Auditions are just around the corner for you to be on The X Factor. We'll talk to creator Simon Cowell coming up in about 15 minutes or so. You know, they're offering a $5 million first place prize to the person who wins X Factor.
That's great.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. So that's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, who's seen the current issue of Maxim magazine on newsstands now? Who's seen the April issue of Maxim with Brittany Snow on the cover? Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
Nice work.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well done.
A lot of work.
thanks for joining us.
It is a lot of work to stand there and be hot, right?
Well, I don't know if I would call it like that, but I mean, I guess it was work getting ready mentally, maybe, but it wasn't that bad. It's not rocket science or anything, obviously.
When you say getting ready mentally, and of course, actress Brittany Snow, who's on Harry's Law, which is the show that's on now, and you've seen her in American Dreams and a bunch of stuff. When you say getting ready mentally, is this out of your comfort zone a little bit, doing a photo shoot in lingerie? This is not something you've done before?
Yeah, I actually had never really done anything like this before. I mean, I had done photo shoots in bathing suits or I've been in my bra and underwear, maybe in John Tucker Must Die, but I never had done like a photo shoot like this before.
You should be arrested. This should be required.
Required. I'm just sad that we waited till you were 25 because now you're almost too old for us to enjoy it.
Stop it.
Oh, my God. I know. It's so true. I actually thought about that. I was like, if I don't do it now,
kidding.
I'm going to get no, but that is, it is true, I guess. You
I'm going to read.
Once you're too old, then, you're too old. But
Brittany, I'm going to read from I'm going to read from your interview, and I'm going to tell you to stop it, okay?
So okay.
Start off by reading from your interview, and then I'm going to tell you to stop it. All right. Do you think of yourself as a sex symbol now? Oh, hell no. It's weird. I've read in magazines where someone comes, like Jessica Alba comes out and says, I'm not a sex symbol. I don't even think I'm sexy. And then you go on to say you're not sexy. So stop that.
Oh, you're talking about me?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. But no, that's the hard part about answering questions like that is like, I want to be honest, but.
No.
No.
But do you really not think that you're sexy? Or maybe a better way to ask that question is, do you really think that guys don't look at you and think, wow, she's really hot? Because they do.
I think that sometimes if I'm pretty, but I don't think that I'm sexy.
Oh, you're so wrong. You're so wrong about so many things, Brittany. You also say that you were never the popular girl. You're really shy and that you're really just a nerd. True?
Oh my gosh. I feel like this entire interview is just me like being so self-deprecating.
Yeah.
But
we are attacking a little, let's be honest.
But I guess like I'm one of those people that like I really like nerdy people and I like doing nerdy things and
we're gonna get along great.
I have a really weird sense of humor. I really like dad jokes and puns and all that sort of stuff, and so I guess I don't know. I would call myself kind of nerdy. I mean, I just glow sticks on Conan O'Brien. I'm not exactly the coolest person in the world, except I think glow sticking is kind of fun.
We live in a Comic-Con world now. The nerds have inherited and taken over the earth. So you're actually in the majority now.
Yes, exactly. I love that.
All right, one more quote from Maxim. And again, the current issue is out now. And besides the interview, there may be some photos you'll be interested in seeing if you like Brittany Snow like we do. How Hollywood is like high school. Here's the quote. When I made John Tucker Must Die with Sophia, of course, we're talking about your friend Sophia Bush, it was great because it was the first time I felt really close with the girls. We had slumber parties and pillow fights, and here's the key phrase, ladies and gentlemen, whatever else you might imagine. Ladies and gentlemen.
No, I mean,
USA! 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 Come on!
You don't know what we can imagine. You really have no idea.
Slumber parties and pillow fights is a good start, though, Brittany. That really happened, or is that the type of thing where you go, I need a really saucy quote for Maxim?
I didn't think about like making a saucy quote. I mean, I was kind of joking, but of course, in print, it doesn't sound like that. But we did have slumber parties, and I mean, I'm sure we like threw a couple pillows, but it wasn't like we were just like in our underwear, like bouncing around. But
it says anything we can imagine. Were you making out with her all night? Because I can imagine that.
No, but we did make out in the movie. So.
I know.
That's why I own it on Blu-ray, my dear. All right, real quick, we're almost out of time, Brittany. Maxim is awesome, and you look great in it. It's a fine interview, but you're also on the Harry's Law. Now, am I a bad person? Am I Al-Qaeda because I have not tuned in to see that on NBC Monday nights?
Al-Qaeda, gosh.
You're Al-Qaeda for other reasons, Bean.
What am I missing? What do you say to people who have not watched Harry's Law? Of course, I've seen the commercials, and I've seen the awesome Kathy Bates, who I do love. Why should I be watching this show?
Well, it's actually one of those shows that's actually really great because it has something for everybody, I think. I mean, I know that's stereotypical to say, but it's got a lot of heart. It's dramatic, but it's really funny and quirky. I mean, it's David E. Kelly, so it's definitely something that if you like kind of his humor or his offbeat kind of lyrical way of talking, he brings a lot of that to the show. And then I'm running around in really cute outfits.
Yes.
Now, you know how to speak to me, girlfriend.
Are you intimidated at all by the super sexy Kathy Bates? Does that happen?
She's super, super intimidating, though. Like,
I know.
But she's scary.
She's scary, yeah. And she's a great actress.
She's a great actress, but not very hot. Intimidating. I've had to definitely step up my game, but I feel like an idiot like next to her because I'm always like, oh my God, and she's so good. And so,
yeah, I mean, that does just look, you got a great pedigree. You mentioned David E. Kelly. He's been behind some of my favorite shows like The Practice and Boston League. I mean, the guy has done phenomenal work in television, but it does raise the game of the whole show when you show up and there's somebody like an Oscar winner like Kathy Bates there. You realize, hey, this is serious acting. I got to be good.
Yeah, it's not bad. And if you like David E. Kelly, then you'll love this because it's definitely what he's all about. And he's really done a great job of bringing something different to the show. But it's also like very much how he writes and the characters that he creates.
Harry's Law airs Monday nights at 10 on NBC. April Maxim issue is available everywhere. I insist that you buy it. Brittany Snow, great to talk to you on The Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Simon Cowell is going to be tomorrow now on The Kevin and Bean Show, which actually works out great for us because we've been wanting to talk to Petros all day long. Petros from the nationally syndicated Petros and Money radio show.
I'm not going
to
be needed for this break, so I'm going to go.
No, you're going to want to hear this.
I'm going to go
this is gonna take a smoke break. You don't smoke,
I'm going to start.
This is going to change your worldview about Petros. Now, I follow P on the tweet, and there's a lot going on in the sports right now. Hockey playoffs right around the corner. NCAA tournament is happening. There's the NFL strike. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that Petros could be very concerned about right now. Here's what he's tweeting from last night. Nobody understands my pain over The Bachelor. Next tweet. After the final rose, I'm pissed. Another tweet.
I agree with him.
Did Brad send the wrong girl home? I totally think so. I'm not pleased with his choice. It just goes on. Oh. Brutal episode of The Bachelor tonight. Tears. P tweets last night. Tears, he tweets.
Wow. Well, Chantal was shattered. It was hard to watch her leave.
And Ralph is right there with you, P. What's going on with you guys? What happened?
I love you, Ralph.
I love you too, P.
What's going on right now? I didn't even know
Brad made a horrible choice last night.
You know what? I wake up this morning with a new attitude because there's like-minded people like Ralph Garman out there.
You shouldn't, because I'm embarrassed to be your friend today.
That's okay.
All right.
Listen to me. He could have had that girl with the bazooka boobs.
Yep.
He could be motorboating those boobs right now. Those giant Seattle bazooka boobs.
Right.
Okay, but maybe. Hillbilly. That guy's a dirty hillbilly from Austin. And he picked a dirty hillbilly from Charlotte. And she will reveal herself, trust me,
I agree.
To be a bad person.
Yes. You know what? He was pursuing her because she kept him at arm's length the entire show. And Chantal was too giving with her feelings. She obviously loved him very much. And I don't think he thinks he deserves to be loved. So he didn't go for her.
I have a question.
He got played.
Yeah, he got played.
That North Carolina temptress.
I agree.
She played him. He went out like Captain Save-A-Ho. He could have had the motorboat bazooka boobs.
Yes.
From Mercer Island.
Who's much more fun. She's much more fun.
She's way more fun.
Hey, guys, I have a question.
She's way hotter.
Yes.
She was way cooler.
Yep.
And this other chick will prove to be nothing but a gold digger and a bad chick.
Petros,
she's gonna try to be famous. Watch.
You can't see, but I have my hand up. Can I ask a question?
Kevin? Well, we're talking Bachelor.
Do you guys understand that we're talking about The Bachelor?
What do you want me to do?
Talk about The Bachelor.
I live in San Pedro where the ghetto meets the sea. I'm fat. I'm depressed. I can't watch sports all day and night. My wife likes The Bachelor, and I'm sucked into that vortex.
Oh, that's
Ralph's story, too.
That's how I got caught up in it, too, P. My wife has a little viewing party on Monday nights, and that's where all the good grub is. So I got down there and put my feet.
The thing is, it's a commitment. I mean, we're talking about a two-hour show. Last night, a three-hour event.
Come on!
It's like watching Schindler's List every Monday.
But, guys, guys, let me throw this out there, and I think I speak for the men in the audience here. My wife
please,
also,
you don't.
In this case, I do, because I didn't get sucked into the vortex of The Bachelor like you and Pete. Look, my wife watches The Bachelor, too, but you know what I've got? Two TVs in my house. That's what I've got.
You live in separate homes. You never have to run about running into your wife.
I enjoy it. Let me tell you the other thing I enjoy about The Bachelor. Every year, and last night was no different, they always go to some tropical place where there's an ocean, and they get down in the water. And,
don't
you know,
try and tell me it's sexy women, because you can find sexy women everywhere. You don't have to watch
where
the
best. Thank you. All right. They get down in the water, and then they rub their pelvises on each other under the sea, and there's a frogman, cameraman,
right
under there with a lens right on their crotches.
But so you are going
the crotch shot. Yes.
You are going with the it's sexy defense.
Because then the funny thing is, they sit there and say, oh, we felt like we were in this beautiful cove in some place like Anguilla, and
we're the only people in the world.
We felt like we were the only people in the world. It's like, no, there are frogmen filming you. There are cameramen, frogmen. I just think it's funny because I know a lot of people that work on the show from when I did Pros versus Joes. All these reality people that tape things they're all basically the same people, just gypsies, sound guys, camera guys, camera assist guys. And sometimes they say they want to just put the camera down and shake these people and say, what is wrong with you? But it happens to everybody that goes on the show. Everybody inevitably loses their mind. And it happened again last night, but he could have had those big boobs, Ralph.
All right.
And
listen, Emily.
Melon boobs.
And Emily said last night, they broke up after the show was over, after he proposed. Because she was watching The Bachelor, and she got upset that he was spending all this attention with all these other women.
Yeah, she's a bitch.
But doesn't she watch the goddamn show and know there's 25 women who are all dating him?
That's the premise of the show, right?
Yeah, she was cheesed off about that.
Yeah, I don't
Stop
like
it.
Her.
Screw
I don't
her.
Like her attitude. I don't
either.
I like the choice.
Stop doing what you're doing.
For Brad Wolbeck.
Me too.
All right, let me ask you. We're out of time here, Petros, but I have to ask this.
Oh, no, we're out of time for this?
And this question goes to Ralph as well. You guys don't know Brad. You shouldn't care about
Brad. We know Brad.
You know not Brad.
You can tell Brad what kind of man he is.
Why do you care whether he dates whore A, whore B, or no one? Why do you even care who he's dating?
That's a valid question. When I was flailing around last night and screaming, my wife told me to calm down because we don't know these people.
So you cared more than your wife.
What about my time investment?
Yes.
What about Ralph and I's time investment?
Yeah, I'm saying you wasted your time. Come back to the living and let's spend it on some.
All I know is there's a nuclear meltdown happening in Japan. And again, I remind you, Petros' tweet, nobody understands my pain over The Bachelor. That's what's happening.
I still think nobody understands my pain.
They don't.
Because there was a meltdown of the heart going on last night.
You know what, guys? I have more to say about this. You might want to flip this to another segment.
We'd love that, but we're out of time.
We're cutting.
Unfortunately, we're cutting out and we're having trouble with the signal. So
sorry, we're out of time.
All right,
hey,
Pete,
are you on board?
Us.
Are you on board with Ashley H for the Bachelorette?
No, I want to see Sean Kemp's boobs.
Yeah, or Crazy Michelle. Let's see her be the Bachelorette too.
We're breaking up. I wish we weren't, but we got signal problems.
I'm not an Ashley H fan, to be honest. I just thought she was too bubbly. Yeah.
I hate that you know who these
people
are.
Michelle
would have
been good. Crazy Michelle would have been a good Bachelorette.
I like the crazy ones. It's better when there's more Bachelorettes. When it gets toward the end, it's just bitterness and anger from me.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
I have a little less respect for him than I did yesterday, but here's Ralph Kramer with the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah, meanwhile, Bean is screaming, I need immediately to know who this chick is on Regis and Kelly. Who is this girl on Regis and Kelly?
Yeah.
That is Chantal. That is the bachelorette that was not chosen by Brad Womack last night.
He made a bad choice.
On The Bachelor.
He made a poor choice then.
That's who that beautiful girl is.
That's so funny.
So while you're trying to be a bitch to me, it turns out you're actually interested.
I am pissed at Brad. That guy made a bad choice. Of course, I haven't seen the chick he did choose, though.
The chick he chose was a blonde, typical Southern belle. Very pretty girl, but very sort of chilly.
Yeah, I think Chantel's a good deal.
Chantel's a lot more fun. That's what P and I were both saying in the last segment.
All right, then I'm with you.
Listening.
I'm totally with you. I'm with them now,
Kevin. Sure. There we go.
Told
you. People don't know. I'm getting a lot of love for our Friday review.
Oh, well, it's the best song in the world ever.
It's the worst song ever.
Well, that's my man.
And it's brought to you by the Art Music Factor. We've been playing some clips all day long, but specific people were asking me to recap the part where Rebecca Black, young artist who does the song, tells us exactly where Friday falls in the week.
It's important information.
Well, you know, if you're going to do a song about Friday, you would want to give people some context, as you know, where it is in comparison to Thursday and Saturday and Sunday.
And we have about 5 clips. I'm not positive we're at the right one.
All right, we'll see.
Fun, fun, think about fun. You know what it is. I got this, you got this. My friend is by my right. Yeah. Hey, I got this.
This is the kind of chorus. This is her still deciding which seat she's going to be in.
All right, I'm ready.
Sure.
Here's another one.
Okay. It's Friday.
Okay, this is the chorus.
Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Weekend. Yeah. Friday.
Got it. Are people still getting down, by the way?
Yes.
I thought people stopped getting down with Casey and the Sunshine Band.
All right,
let me get forward.
All right, here we go. Yesterday was Thursday. Today is Friday.
We so excited.
We gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday, and Sunday comes after.
Yeah, tomorrow is Saturday, then Sunday comes afterwards.
Words. It is horrible on every conceivable level.
Yes.
That it can be horrible.
And stop saying
writing,
it's a hit.
Production. I'm telling you, it's a hit. I'm telling you, there's very little difference between this and actual music that gets played on real radio stations.
Between
that's what I'm telling
Kesha,
you.
Kesha, it's pretty much a toss-up.
Friday, getting down on Friday.
You wouldn't listen to this, Bean, because she says yesterday was Thursday and tomorrow's Saturday. You would not listen to that.
I would listen to this over Let me finish the sentence, though. Over several of the Kesha songs that have become number one hit records. This is better than those.
Look, I'm not standing up for Kesha because I hate her, too. But
right.
Come on now.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Come on now.
It's every cliche that's bad 2011 pop music in one song.
Speaking of Bean and radio and bad music, quick email I got from Phil Jeffers, our listener. I appreciate him sending this in. I was listening to your morning show when you guys went to a break, so I switched to another station, and the DJ comes on and says, this song goes out to a DJ on another radio station. He says they won't let him play this song at his station, so this song goes out to you, Bean, and the gentleman proceeds to play The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
It must be over.
Nope. There's a station out there with some haste.
The Bean is making requests on other radio stations while we're doing our show in the morning.
Oh! You! I didn't call and make that request.
I'd rather hear this.
B.R.B. Rebecca Black. So chillin' in the front and I play back. Driving, cruising, fast lanes, switching lanes with the car by my side. You passing by is a school bus in front of me. Tick-tock, on the street.
Passing by me is a school bus. We don't need to know everything.
It's the R. Kelly school writing song. Get up at my bowl of cereal. Go to the bus stop. My friends, they're sitting in seats in cars.
They're sitting in the front seat, and they're sitting in the
they're
back.
They're picking in the front seat.
Where am I going to sit?
Sitting in the back
Wreck
seat.
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald starting to look pretty good.
No, which song will she take? We don't know. We don't know, man.
We don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
Gilbert Godfrey's looking for a new job. He, of course, was the voice of the Affleck duck.
Affleck. He was the voice for that for a long time, wasn't he?
He did a lot of those commercials. Then he started tweeting about the disaster in Japan. And by tweeting, I mean making tasteless jokes about it.
So comedy equals tragedy.
Plus time.
I see.
Did
he forget the plus time?
He actually, he minused time.
He
subtracted time.
That's not good.
No. So Affleck has, I don't know, about 75% of their business in Japan. And so they decided maybe having him as a spokesperson was not the way to go. And so Gilbert has been relieved of his duties.
Is it possible that you've just used some really poor judgment here?
There may be some bad judgment. The good news is, Affleck says they're looking for a new voiceover artist to
Affleck! Can anyone do that?
Pretty much anyone, yeah. I don't think I have a hard time replacing Gilbert, sadly. But. I think Kevin
gave
it
to
a tape there.
Rebecca Black.
That'd be good.
Affleck, injured with Affleck.
That sounds like a duck. Justin Bieber had a wacky real-life episode last week.
I bet he did. I hope it's in the next movie.
Two teenage fans got the brilliant idea to sneak into his London hotel room by dressing up as maids at the hotel. They knocked on the door, called room service, and then were allowed into the room and started taking pictures as personal things with their cell phones.
Creepy.
Apparently one of his entourage caught them in the act, and Justin was furious. Excuse me, checked out of the hotel and slept in his tour bus.
He showed them.
He was so upset at the lax the lax security at the building that he slept on his tour bus. Sadly, no one had run a hose from the tailpipe of the tour bus into the window, so Justin did wake up.
But, for
a moment there, we had a chance.
That's a crazy scene in Liverpool last week where they just had 1,000 girls out in front of a hotel or something.
That was one of the strangest things I've ever... Wait, I didn't see that.
I didn't see it.
He couldn't leave the hotel. They told him he'd be arrested if he stepped out onto the balcony of the hotel because it would incite a riot. I mean, it was very tense for a moment.
Talking about crappy music, Kesha is in the news. She said that she has informed all of her friends that she thinks she's an excellent amateur tattoo artist.
Good.
And can ink up anyone in about 2 minutes with a pen and a sewing needle. So if any of her friends have any tattoos that they would like to do, she's ready to perform that service for them.
There was a video last week online of her giving a tattoo on an ankle to a fan, which I think is dangerous.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Man. Man.
Is there no topic?
There is no. We should have a new game called Stump Bean.
Is there no topic
where
you don't know about?
You tell the first half of a news story, and then Bean will complete it for you.
Guys, isn't it part of our job to be up to speed with what's going on in the world?
No, you're not up to speed.
You're ahead of speed.
You're ahead of speed. It's ridiculous.
You're the speed of light.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
That's right.
I find out about most of these stories from Ralph.
Which is a very useful role you play because it allows me to expound upon these stories and get information out. As opposed to being squashed when someone puts their boot on my throat every time I start telling a story.
Every story you start, you can just sense that Bean is just waiting for an opening.
Oh, I know about that. Kesha gave me a tattoo this week in the barn. I'd have put my pig on my ass.
I'm just over it. Once the story is about 90 minutes or 2 hours old, I'm pretty much done with it.
But none of us pay that close attention. Come on now.
I'm not nearly healthy enough for this. That's all I'm telling you. Speaking of Bean and the barn, did you hear about his tweet this weekend?
I don't know. Which one?
You know, I blocked Bean on Twitter.
You have blocked him, yes.
But now, inadvertently, once in a while, I will catch a little Bean shrapnel.
Oh, no.
From one of his tweets because someone will retweet it and send it to me.
Oh.
And apparently,
it's collateral damage.
Right. It's like being fragged by your own troops. So apparently Bean said this weekend, and I'm paraphrasing here, after 13 years, I finally saw my pig's penis.
Oh, wait a minute.
Now we're even, he said.
Thanks for that tweet.
Hey, wait a minute. So he said now we're even, meaning that the pig...
Yes.
...had already seen Bean naked.
That's what I'm saying.
That was the joke. The part about seeing Godzilla's penis for the first time in 13 years was true. The part about now we're even, that was just a little Twitter ha-ha.
I'm sorry. It was a Twitter
ha-ha. Never seen one before. It was crazy.
No, that's what I'm saying.
China, your brother.
Stop it. Today's celebrity birthdays... Psycho Mike Catherwood, young Mike Catherwood, who, of course, is no longer with us. He's gone to that big dance floor in the sky, but we think of him quite often, and we wish him well wherever he is.
And I'm not sure Beer Mug is an upgrade either, by the way.
Hey!
How dare you.
Oh, sorry, Mike, I didn't even listen.
He's usually not.
He's the Bloodline's lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
Bloodline lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
That he is. Today's his birthday. Also celebrating their birthday, Judd Hirsch from Taxi, 76, D-Sider of Twisted Sisters, 56. Fabio celebrates his 50th birthday. Brett Michaels of Poison is 48. You getting sick too?
Wow, I'm not feeling well.
We say if you're smart, you'll start coughing. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray is 43. Mark Hoppus of Blink-182 is 39. If you're interested in Mark's auction, by the way, he's raising money for the Japanese disaster by eBaying some of his personal items off on eBay. You can go to kevinbean.com. We've got the link to the auction right there. You can check it out. Eva Longoria is 36. So is Will I Am of Black Eyed Peas. And DJ Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We're going to have some highlights of the Trump Roast tonight on Comedy Central, which promises to be a great time. We have Adam Carolla this week in Rage. And we have the poor sucker that is Psycho Mike's dance instructor.
How disappointed was she when that name was given to her?
Or Lacey Underalls.
Yeah. Honestly, did they draw out of a hat? Like, did she lose a bet? How does it work? Is she the new person on the show? She gets...
hey, she went all the way. Oh, Ralph would know this, but she went all the way to the finals last year. I mean, she's one of their top dancers. So you think that she would have had some sort of veto power to not have to be paired up with Mike, but apparently she did.
Maybe she didn't have the good sense to know it.
No, it's right. Like, you know, it's like the draft. If you are the Super Bowl team, the next year you're the bottom of the draft. So everyone else who does, you know, doesn't do as well as you has to move up higher in the drafts.
All right. Well, we've got her tomorrow, and we'll talk to her about the unfortunate circumstances that she finds herself in on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.